please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody, and indeed, welcome to the program. I don't know what that starter step was, that horseshit. Welcome to episode 36W of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. We're getting to the end of this season. As always, a quick reminder, you don't have to re-up, you don't have to do anything. It's a quick reminder needs to come into the free feed to have them sign up. And you guys are all doing a great job. We thank you all for your patronage and subscribing and supporting and emails and all that sort of stuff, the songs that you send, the gifts that you send. So we thank you all. We thank you all. We love you all, to paraphrase Queen. Driving in today, I stopped at I had a 7:30 doctor's appointment at USC downtown LA. That is too early.
And not really helpful. Like if it was up here, then you'd be right. Just be like, oh, at least I'm closer to the office.
It's not. I think it still is closer.
Because you just hop
than my home. Yeah, because it's just Riverside to Riverside to 134, then you're here. Mm-hmm. And I could have hopped on the 5 sooner, but the 5 was backed up, so I stayed on Riverside to save, I want to say, 35 seconds.
Okay.
At any rate, it was for a 7:30 appointment, you got to leave at 6:50, and then that means you got to get up early, and that sucks.
That does suck.
And also update: there is a chance that not one but two doctors may call during this show. They may also call Monday. They said, when I saw the one doctor yesterday, he said anytime between tonight and Monday. And then the woman this morning said, hey, if these come back right away, I'll get back to you today. Look at more like Monday. Mm-hmm. So he could at any time or during Monday's recording.
Boy, this is the longest term potential phone call alert that we've ever had.
It is. Speaking of that, and this is completely off topic, but it gives us a chance to point out that Garen Cockrell is away at assignment, and we are lucky enough to have Zoe Belknap filling in. Hello, Zoe.
Hello.
Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
We're thrilled that you're here. You're sitting over there in the we call that the catbird seat. So hopefully you're comfortable with that.
It's literally never called.
Sure.
No,
I call it that. I say, Garen. Yeah, Garen, you're doing a great job over there at the catbird seat.
Actually, I think you called it the cockerel seat as a reference to that.
I think I did. I think that is accurate. But I do like the term. Catbird seat. They use it a lot in baseball. So Zoe is here filling in for Garen for the day. We're thrilled to have her over there at the Pop Culture Beats Info Desk, of course, sponsored by GalacticSnacks.com. Head over to GalacticSnacks.com.
Yes.
Use promo code PARDO and get yourself 20% off the anything except for the already discounted bundles. Had a nice email, and we'll bring Zoe right back into it, but had a nice interaction with Jesse from Galactic Snacks this week, and he's waiting on a couple of exciting things.
Oh, boy.
Before he ships out some new stuff to us. So that is the news on why our box is barren.
Is one of those things a garter belt? Because with all these snacks, I think I'm going to need one.
My man. I don't disagree. Or maybe some stock into Spanx. Something, Jesse.
Do they make male Spanx?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or I think you just wear
Spanx.
Spanx. Okay. Yeah, I think that, when I worked at the gas station and I was there, on the day that was the record cold in Chicago, it's 30 below zero before wind chill.
Yeah.
It was unbearable. And Paul Boyev and I were out there. We were, pumping gas. And as I've said many times, people, it was still full service. Three islands were full. One was self. That's how little people were using self in those days. But even so, during this, zero people using self.
Yeah.
So a line, probably 25 cars deep at all through the entire shift of people wanting us to pump their gas because it was so cold. Nobody wanted to get out. And they also... you know, this is the 80s where you would have to go out like at 1 a.m. and start your car up.
Yeah.
So that the engine block wouldn't freeze.
Right.
So Paul Boyev and I, I believe from football players, we learned this, wear pantyhose. So pantyhose would help keep your legs warm.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I could wear pantyhose in the 80s, I could wear Spanx in the Y2Ks.
Sure.
So Zoe, speaking of it, so I mentioned catbird seat in baseball. We also mentioned we're on phone alert at any time for the doctor. I don't know how to have you do this, but we are in the middle of the baseball trade deadline, which is happening as we speak. It ends at 3 p.m. our time today, mm-hmm. which will be off the air way before then. But at any given moment, the White Sox are expected to make a huge trade, and the Cubs are expected to make a huge trade. So here's why I bring Zoe into the mix, not to burden her with more work, but I want to see who gets in first, Zoe or Mike Schmidt. Who contacts me first with this information? Also, wild card, Fritz Nothnagel. So there's that. Lenny Schmidt would be pretty quick on this as well, but he's on a ship in Alaska and probably enjoying the tsunami waters,
the after effect. Yeah.
So Zoe, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how you would look for White Sox Cub MLB breaking news. MLB
sure.
breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a way to do that? And then get alerted?
There must be a, go to ESPN.com. They probably have a ticker of the most, the up to date. I don't know.
Well, I guess I don't.
She has to keep one.
I was hoping not to have her monitor that as much,
right.
as like, is there something? I don't know technology. I really don't know. Is there something that can ding?
Well, there are websites that like they ask you when you visit them, like, do you want to turn on notifications for this website?
Yeah, right.
But I always say no to that because who the hell wants a website to notify them?
Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I'm with you.
I've got enough shit coming into my face from my phone and my just alerts on my desktop anyway, like just from the computer, whatever, the Apple News or whatever it is that's constantly yelling at me.
I don't want I don't want websites. Here's what I don't like. I'll go to a website I like. I don't like when there's that pop up of, do you want a discount or
yes.
whatever, like on sites I like. It's like, I know they're helping me,
right?
But get out of my way. Don't make me click on something to come here for the 1 second I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
I'm annoyed by it. Not really for comedy. And that is a very loose. Right. We got breaking news over there. Zoe, anything breaking on the Cubs or White Sox trade?
Nope.
All right. It's at 10:34. We are 4 hours and 25 minutes remaining of
I think that's the way it's going to be. Draft. You're going to have to check in with her periodically whenever you think of it or whenever you're bored of whatever we're talking about.
Zoe, can you check in on that? No, I think I don't disagree
with
that.
She can just refresh a web page that'll have it.
There's part of me that because Mike Schmidt loves to be the breaking news.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for Zoe to beat him. Now, there's a very good chance she will because Mike sleeps late into the day.
Now, you think there's a 100% chance these trades are happening.
The White Sox are expecting to move Luis Robert Jr. In fact, coming in, there is breaking news that the Phillies acquired an outfielder, and I went, "Well, here it is," and it wasn't him. But all the experts, even as that, they were all saying we expected this to be Luis Robert Jr. So maybe he's still going to go to the Dodgers or the Padres. I would actually like because these young guys on the White Sox are playing so well. That keep them and then add a couple pieces in the offseason, and I think you got a good team. And maybe I'm being optimistic, but
team for the future.
I think he's a part of it. I also think for his sake he should go to another team because I think they could fix him. He's a little out of sorts, although he's had a good second half here so far. Anyhow, and then the Cubs are expected to make some huge pitching addition at some point today. So that'll be exciting because the Cubs are, the second best record in baseball or third best record as we speak. As I've said, I'm a White Sox fan, but the second they're out of it, I then root for the Cubs and I hope they make the World Series.
Yeah.
What is this? Did I spit something all the way? I did. No, I did not. I opened up my can of worms.
Can we go back to, you can't be happy with a guy whose name is Luis Robert Jr. Like Robert is a last name.
You don't like that there's no S?
Yeah. Or just that his last name is a first name, and his first name is also a first name, obviously. But
I don't, here's, this is going to sound ridiculous. What I don't mind about it is I believe he's Dominican.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, that gets a pass.
It just completely negates anything.
Yeah, issues. I don't.
Because if you were on stage doing crowd work and you said, what's your name, sir? And he said, my name's Lewis Robert. You'd be like, nope.
It's one too many.
No, sorry. Pick one. Pick a first name, then pick a last name.
Right. Robert, comma, Lewis. No. I'm with you. Like that fellow that I write, his first name, Mark Sam.
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
I've never heard of a guy whose last name is Sam.
No, that was not his last name.
Wait, what?
No, I told you. That was his first name.
I think he said his name was Mark Sam.
And Mark Sam Rosenthal.
Oh, I misunderstood you. Mm. So his name is like Mark hyphen Sam?
I don't know.
You lost your pen?
What's more important is I've literally like a cat with a fucking laser. I cannot find...
Yeah, this is, you like did an accidental magic trick. You made that pen disappear.
I mean, do you see it from where you're at?
Not at all.
It must have rolled under.
Perfect timing. I will take this call from my doctor,
okay.
And we'll be back right after this. Hey, everybody, sorry about that. I think that, you just put a music sting or something in there? Or
yeah,
what do we do?
A little interstitial theme, but I think Elliot also has something to play now.
Oh, wait, what?
Oh,
is there a song for...
For what?
When a doc calls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is that... Have we heard it before?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, there's a number of ones. Like, we could go to this.
I went to the doctor.
That's not what I was thinking of.
I don't think that's what he was thinking of. I think there's one specifically for a doctor calling.
Well, there's who's...
And those two voices were a nightmare to me, so I don't need to hear that.
There's also
there's
who's texting, who's texting.
Who's
texting?
That's right. Garen sucks and he's on assignment. Thank you. So one doctor call of the two that were prompt that potentially could happen already done.
Yay.
Nice.
So that one is out. And I will, as you heard, I'm going to be speaking with that doctor next Friday at 2 p.m. So if you're looking if you're wondering, hey, I wonder what Jimmy Pardo's doing right now. I'm on the phone with the doctor.
Okay.
Next Friday at 2. And then
that's like the Bruce Smith game. Like if you said, what's Jimmy doing right now? Probably talking to a doctor.
To a doctor. Bruce Smith, by the way, I had a reason, by the way, to bring up. I'll go back to the doctor at 6:50 in the morning in 1 second.
Okay.
Bruce Smith, you know, we had a wonderful birthday party for him, mm-hmm. where a bunch of mom-and-pop clients got together, and Erica Rhodes, and we all got together, and she's a nice woman. She's just anti-vax and supports Robert Kennedy, so Looney Tune! My birthday, as we know, was on Monday of this week, and Bruce left me a voicemail, mm-hmm. and I then emailed him back later that night when I had an opportunity, saying, hey, you know, sorry I missed your call, but my birthday, so on and so forth, responding with something he said. And then yesterday, he called me and goes, hey, Jim, it's Bruce, I'm just calling to see how your birthday went.
Oh.
Huh.
By the way, there's another voicemail. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know. Call me back if you want. You know, call me up. I just want to make sure you had a good day. And that was it. And my guess is that Bruce was in his car, bored out of his fucking mind, and went, who can I call?
Yeah.
Oh, here's a starting conversation.
I've never heard of a birthday follow-up call. Like, there's the birthday call, hey, happy birthday. But then the follow-up is, that's unprecedented.
It is. And again, I stand by you. It has to be. He's in his car bored because who makes a follow up to make sure he had a good day? And by the way, I didn't. We had a great show here. We had a great time here with John Russ Bowie. We had some great phone calls. We appreciate the phone calls. And then, but as we know, I had some stomach issues from potentially a hamburger at the Hollywood Bowl the night before. Mm-hmm. And then we were supposed to go out for a nice dinner. And that resulted in my wife and son just walking to Whole Foods and getting me soup.
Oh, you were still out.
I couldn't.
Out.
It was.
Damn,
yeah, it
that
just.
Sucks.
Yeah, so we ended up going out for barbecue on Tuesday night mm-hmm. when my stomach was back to norm.
Did you go to that place?
We did not because they don't even have salmon.
Yeah, they have strictly meat.
Yeah, they have nothing for wife and son. Mm-hmm. So we went to a place where they can get some salmon,
mm-hmm.
and it was delicious. And what I got was great, and I was happy to have had it. And blah 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 blah. But here's the good news about a follow up birthday call. I'll call you tomorrow. happy birthday to you, sir.
Today. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Happy birthday to Matt Belknap. Look at that. Zoe, you going to chime in on that? I'm sure you already did it at home, but
yes,
we're doing it now.
Happy birthday.
Thanks.
All right.
Happy birthday to you.
No?
Talking to Zoe.
You got mad at us on Monday when we didn't sing a song for you, so.
And so now I'm mad at you for singing a song to him.
Doubly mad, yeah. So Matt gets one, I don't.
Dude, like, I'd really, like, dude, I mean, look, I, for comedy, I get mad at a lot of things.
Sure, sure.
But I don't, I would never, I mean, it would be for comedy,
yeah.
But I would never, ever, we know, let me make no mistake, we know people that would be upset, like, you know, I can't even do it without doing the voice, so I'm not going to do it. Zoe, did you and your family do anything this morning for your father's birthday? Did you surprise him? Did you wake him out of bed to... shove a candle in his face? Did you sing Candle in the Wind by Elton John?
We got him donuts, so pretty close to Candle in the Wind. But I think I was asleep when that kind of thing happened.
Yeah.
I woke up and there were gifts on the couch, but I was not there for that. I was sleeping.
You were not there for the unwrapping of the gifts?
Well, there was one gift.
Yeah. I guess.
All right.
Elise was like, I wrapped one gift. Do you want to open it? I was like, sure.
And are you comfortable saying what that was?
Yeah, it was these new shoes.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday to your feet.
Yeah, these are just for the listener, anyone who cares, these are Jordan 1 Low Retros. They're Howard University themed, which you would think, why does Matt have a historically black university yep. shoe on?
Mm-hmm.
It's because they don't say Howard anywhere on them, and they also happen to be red, white, and blue, and you know I'm crazy, so when the U.S. national team is playing a soccer game, I like to wear red, white, and blue somehow.
Oh, that's why you're wearing that shirt as well.
And they're not playing today, but the shirt matches the shoes. The shoes are, I just put them on because they're new and I like them. But now I have a pair of shoes to put on when the boys are playing or the girls.
I thought maybe you'd wear those shoes because you give a shit about our country. How about that?
Give a shit about our country, but
I mean, salute those feet.
That's a problem too, because if you wear too much red, white, and blue, people are like, "Are you? Which side are you
yeah,
on?
Yeah, here's MAGA.
Yeah.
Here comes, it walk MAGA, Dad.
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You did. And I ended up stopping somewhere to potentially bring in something fun. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they had with the word cake in it were little cheesecake bites. Mm. And so I got those mm-hmm. and then couldn't have been more excited that you brought those Krispy Kremes in.
Yeah.
Because I love cheesecake bites.
Yeah.
But I don't know where you land on them, but I like the word cake.
I'll eat anything with sugar in it. I don't give a shit. Like,
well, it's up to you. Then we can have
it. But I do like that. So the Krispy Kreme.
Well, here's the thing. If I interrupt.
Yeah.
The cheesecake bites are in the freezer.
We can have them in whatever.
Anytime.
Yeah, yeah. But those Krispy Kremes, they're never going to be better than they are on the day they were born.
I also say this. They're not going to eat themselves.
Those donuts have the same birthday as I do.
They do. You expired it. Wait, no, they don't.
Well,
those are going to expire in a day or so. You
no, I'm saying, but they were born the same day I was
that's
born.
Right. Yeah,
on the 31st.
All right, and for your birthday, did you put a little neon sign in the window saying
"fresh"?
Fresh.
Yeah, it blinks when it's my then birthday.
Listen to Kool and the Gang.
Yeah,
fresh.
Fresh is so fresh.
Exciting.
She's so inviting to me.
Kool and the Gang. If I'm not mistaken, that's the song they opened with when they opened for Van Halen on tour in 2000?
Why were they opening for Van Halen?
David Lee Roth thought that'd be fun, and here's the thing. He wasn't wrong.
This is such an odd... Like, if that had happened in 1985, you'd be like, what is happening right now?
I thought that then,
yeah.
But they're such a fun band. Now, make no mistake. Yeah. Nobody else. I mean, I would say 50% of the audience were angry at it,
mm-hmm.
and I would imagine, not in Los Angeles, but I would imagine elsewhere... Why? I'm going to say this is not me talking.
Yeah.
Why are these black guys on stage? I came to see Van Halen and other just white dudes.
Right. Yeah. There can't be a huge overlap in fan bases of those two groups.
I think we found them right here. That's it. I am still haunted. This plays into it. I am still haunted. I read a comment. You know, when I went to see Roger Waters with Mike Schmidt the first time. Because there was a rumor David Gilmour was going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only reason I went, as I've said many times in this program, because I need, if they were going to reunite, I needed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I've listened to, at that time, upwards of 0 minutes of Pink Floyd. but that's the show that got me into it.
Mm-hmm.
But afterward, it's like, I couldn't believe how great that show was. Like, I was like, this is, and it is now, it's in my top five shows of all time. It was an amazing show.
Mm-hmm.
And So I was like, oh, I'm going to go online and dig deep on this kind of like there were songs in there that I didn't know because they're from solo albums and stuff. Like, I want to see the set list. I want to see this, that. So I found a page with a website, maybe classicrock.com or whatever, that had this Setlist FM. Somebody had not uploaded it yet or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking, and then there's comments. And one of the comments to the earlier point was Roger Waters had a black female singer who would sing part of Mother with mm-hmm. him. Mother, you think we'll drop the bomb, that song. She would do, they kind of made it into a duet, mm-hmm. Which made it amazingly great.
Mm-hmm.
And the comments were, and again, it haunts my, it's like one of those things, like, I wish I had never gone to that website, because now whenever I hear that song, all I think about are these dumb racist comments.
Yeah.
And it's like, do it. Shut the fuck up. Just listen. If you're close your eyes then.
Yeah.
Because it was amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I just don't understand taking racism that far. You're like, I won't even allow myself to enjoy something good.
Right.
Because of this. Like,
and
that's crazy.
Not alone.
Right.
Others. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah.
So took me out of it.
So those people,
why?
They don't listen to anything by any artist who isn't white. Like, what a crazy constriction to put on yourself.
It is bizarre.
What if who's the soul provider?
That's Michael Bolton. Michael Bolton.
So what if he had guest artist Michael Bolton singing in the soulful style? Would they also have been upset with that, or is it just the color of the skin?
I believe it's the color of the skin, sir.
So fuck those people.
Of course.
They might also.
They would have been upset with that because he would have been, if I may, he would have been considered a little bit of an F.
Yeah.
To them.
Oh, okay.
To them.
Wow.
To them. I don't need this F up there because he does,
Do they understand Roger Waters? Roger Waters isn't that way.
Oh, he's anti-Semitic.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I'm out.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I'm out. It's disappointing.
Because I thought.
And it's not confirmed, but man, everything leans that way.
But he's anti-establishment, right?
He's anti-establishment.
So that's a interesting contrast.
But he's been for years, in fact, friend of the show.
I'd heard about that now that you say it. Something with the floating pig had something on it, right?
Zoe, I think our guest is here. Sorry to interrupt. There's trouble with the door, as usual.
I need to put some more, because I used the door earlier.
Yeah.
And you buzzed me in.
Yeah. How did you make it work?
I think I need to put more detailed information on it. So to your point, Daryl Asher, who of course does Never Not Notes,
yes,
he also agrees that he's out.
Yeah. Just go into the kitchen. Yeah,
you told us this was all taken care of beforehand.
I did also.
I thought that we could just take a break and you would, because I was like, I don't need to walk her through all the paperwork stuff, but then you explained the paperwork's very
simple.
This
is an internship, Matt. This is a training opportunity.
Well, I thought
we're here to educate an intern.
And that to me, the paperwork is Jimmy's purview, so I have sort of leaving
fair.
It up to him to
not good save.
But in my head I was like, I already have to explain some other stuff to her about, like, how the, you know, how to take the notes, how to do all this other stuff. So I was like, let's just not worry about those.
We joked that there was some kind of symposium at the Belknap household before that, and that Matt would just
do all this stuff. It was all in the 13 minute car ride from here, from home to here.
And part of that car ride was apparently, and Jimmy will explain that part too. Or not even that. And then we'll take a break and Jimmy will handle it, is what.
Yeah, that's what I imagine.
She's here to intern.
I know. And this is probably the most intern-y part of the job,
correct.
Is to do this.
And interacting with people in a way that you might not at school.
Right.
Yeah, this is the important part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sitting here and being part of the conversation and occasionally looking up MLB updates, that's the fun part of it.
What if that trade happens when she's out there?
Oh, well, that'll be okay, because then she'll come back and she'll go, hey, I just saw this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I stop to get those cheesecake bites and then also go to Target, because I had a lot of time to kill, because my doctor's appointment was over by 8:10.
Right.
It's a fucking pen.
You drop the pen again?
This pen is.
Do you need a wrist strap?
I might. The first time, by the way, when I couldn't find it, it was in my lap.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Didn't even get to
it. Is it in your lap now?
No, it's under my foot.
Okay.
Now it's under my thumb. I'm in the Target, and I got a little lightheaded.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, that's it. And then it was gone. No, you don't. No,
he can just wait out there.
We'll bring in about 8 minutes. You're early. You're very early.
15 minutes, Jim.
What?
I'll be ready in about 15 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Walk around the block. Do whatever you're gonna do.
1, 2, 3 o'clock.
Put a sunscreen on. Safety first. SP, is he already done with the paperwork? See, that's how easy it is.
Sure.
And again, but some people, the guests that don't understand that, yeah. I don't, what are they not understanding?
Look,
performer
Jimmy,
name, performer address.
Jimmy, these people are artists. They're not bureaucrats.
People are like, I came here to have fun, not to fill out paperwork.
Right?
This isn't a dentist appointment.
Exactly.
You know what? Then you haven't been on a podcast in a while, because go on Conan O'Brien's show. You're signing as if you're doing a paperwork to meet a doctor for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you, and here's some paperwork. Oh, I already did it online. This is different. And then it's, This. Anyway, I'm at Target. Zoe, I'm at Target, not far from you. Hollywood, that little city Target on Hollywood Way.
Yeah, yeah.
And not too far from that baseball card shop.
Yeah.
By Crumble Cookie.
Which probably isn't even open that early, or else you could have walked around there a little bit.
There were two people waiting in line to get in.
Oh, well, maybe something's coming out.
At 9, maybe they open at 9:30 or something?
Can I take a quick, I want to get back to your lightheadedness, but
yeah.
I just heard that Caitlin Clark's rookie card sold for $600,000. She was a rookie 2 months ago. How is it already worth that much?
Paul Skeen's rookie card was millions and millions.
So if I had just bought every card 8 months ago for the season, the WNBA season,
yes.
I could have had $600,000.
Yeah, but you would have had competition because everybody did that. Every card collector went and bought.
Was it limited?
Mm-hmm.
Then how could it be worth so much? There must be thousands of them.
It's back in the day where I had Frank Thomas's Leaf baseball card.
Yeah.
It was worth something banana time money.
Yeah.
And I happened to have it.
Yeah.
And now I think it's worth $50. But... and I held on, you know,
yeah.
And then the baseball, you know, just cratered.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the old days, you would open up your pack and, oh, I have this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put it aside and then it's worth money.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's all these collectors that go there. They wait in line.
Yeah.
They get the boxes and right. Then they open up. You see them, the unwrapping, the unboxing on
yeah.
thing. And then they do the pulls. Let's see. I'm sure that Caitlin Herc person has. I got it.
Right.
So.
It sounds,
and then somebody else bought it.
It's kind of like the scene from Willy Wonka.
It is like the scene from Willy Wonka.
The guy pays all of his
yes.
nut shuckers to go through the candy bars.
Right.
I'm at Target. I get a little lightheaded.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is weird. And I don't know where you guys were, but there was a 4.4 earthquake.
Oh, no. I didn't
really?
Feel it.
It was based in Riverside.
Oh.
Did you
Wait,
feel it,
today?
Zoe? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I literally thought I was crazy.
See?
I was sitting in my bed, and I was like, wait, it's shaking. But then no one said anything, so I just forgot
What time
about
was that?
It.
8:10? Is that what you said?
No.
It was like 9:50? Something like that, because I was waiting for you.
Oh, okay.
I was in the car.
Yeah, you wouldn't feel it in the car.
No. Huh.
You have no feelings, so it would affect you.
Why? Where was I? I was upstairs.
You were getting
probably
ready.
Probably putting those shoes on.
Yeah. No, because I walked out, and I was like ready to go, and you were like, give me 20 minutes. And so I was just watching TikTok.
Yeah. Okay. Huh.
Yeah, so it was based at the 15... And the 10. It was basically right there. Mm-hmm. And then I immediately got in my car and turned on KFI, and they were giving updates on it. And there were a ton of aftershocks, not as big, but a ton. But then that, of course, got the speculation of, is something going on?
Yeah.
You know, tsunami.
Jeez Louise.
I got a lot of, did you get a lot of people from the rest of the country asking if we're okay?
With the tsunami?
Yeah.
No, this is the one time. That usually does happen whenever anything's happening anywhere within, you know, 500 miles of us, but not this time. I think people, I know, like, Elise was very interested in, like, oh, what's going to happen in Hawaii or whatever, and then that wasn't even that big a deal, apparently.
It still was 6-foot wall of wave, though.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still a pretty crazy wave.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, to Elise's point, it wasn't what they predicted.
It didn't
which, by the way, is good.
Yes.
For people to go online going, well, that was a big nothing. Drop to your knees and say,
oh, I'm
thank
sorry
God.
No one died.
Right? You weirdos.
So disappointing.
What a weird take on that.
But I did hear the only thing that seemed kind of interesting about that whole situation was that there were people, the Coast Guard told the cruise ships in Hawaii to go out to sea, and there were people who were on land,
oh, no.
doing a day excursion,
and they're stuck
and they're
there.
Just stuck there overnight, and they're like, well, we don't have a hotel room and we don't have a car because we just got off the boat to like go sightseeing or go shopping or whatever, and so now they're just in Honolulu for a night not knowing where to go.
Interesting.
And maybe there's a tsunami coming.
I go to the top floor of a hotel and just sit in the hall. That's what I do.
Oh, okay. Do they allow that?
I mean, how
I think in those circumstances,
they
would be like, yeah, please make use of whatever safe space you can find.
Don't forget the lounge is open. They give you the big thing. Every the lounge, your room service is available. Yeah. Hall service is available.
The gym is on the third floor.
And I believe that's what they mean by hall pass, by the way. Then you're allowed to with anybody you want.
Really?
That's right.
It's one of the perks of a tsunami warning.
That's exactly right.
Interesting.
Like how I cleaned that up with your daughter.
We're all on high alert.
Did a great job.
Yep.
Zoe, any updates before we take a break? Any you got any breaking news over there? Any breaking MLB news?
I actually was just checking, but no.
No news at all. Not even White Sox or Cub related. There's been no new trade. I know I specifically said White Sox or Cubs, but since you're there.
Let me... I don't think so. It says it was last updated 34 minutes ago.
Well, that's not going to help us at all. Let's refresh that page.
Well, maybe there's no news since
that's
then.
That's what I think. That
all right. What's the most recent trade then? Is it that Harrison Bader move?
Harrison Bader continues Minnesota-Philadelphia pipeline.
There we go. That's the most recent?
Yes.
All right. So I'm up to speed.
Yeah. Now, Jimmy, I have an app that tells me way more than I want to know about, like, soccer, not trades, but, you know, moves,
yes,
signings.
Yes.
And the alerts come on my watch. They come on my phone. They don't leave me alone. And 90% of the time, it's not something I do not care about. Do you don't have that for baseball?
I do not want it. I don't want it. I don't like it because I will occasionally like to go home and watch the baseball delayed or watch it. So I don't.
I turned off the score thing. Like, you can set it so that it doesn't tell you scores.
But the updates with baseball also include like a headline. No hitter.
Right.
And it's I don't want to. So,
right. That would be a spoiler. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes my app, it will say, this player has been subbed in, you know, they've been put into the game in the 71st minute. And when it does that, it shows the score at the same time. I'm like, well, I thought I told you I didn't want to know.
I made it clear I don't want scores.
But so I guess I need to tell it. I also don't want to know substitutions, but then it's like, sometimes I do want to know that because it's a guy I care about checking in so I can turn the game on and watch the last 20 minutes or whatever.
By the way, there's also a guy in my neighborhood that walks around door to door giving away free score candy bars, and he knows, don't come to my door. He goes, just go.
You don't want the score.
Score.
I don't want the score.
By the way, speaking of candy bars no one's talked about in 20 years.
Scores are delicious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the crispy one in the middle?
Yeah. It's just toffee with chocolate over it. Yeah. I mean, it's crispy and crunchy. And
it's like an adult Butterfinger.
Yeah. It's delicious.
I don't know that I've ever had that.
Score. S-K-O-R.
There's a competing version from the other chocolate company, right? There's Hershey and then there's somebody else that puts out.
Yeah.
Candies.
Like M&M Mars, perhaps?
It's the same. It's basically the same thing, and they're both delicious.
Okay.
What is your what's your candy bar from 20 years ago?
Well, it's actually more than 20 years ago, but I stumbled last night on something that now I'm going to go down a rabbit hole because it was so great. It was Celebrity Family Feud from the 80s, early 80s, and it was, I don't know what the other show, it was the final round, so it was just the winning team, but it was Three's Company, the cast of Three's Company playing what they now call Fast Money, which I don't think they ever called that in the 80s, but Steve Harvey calls it
that. No, that was called Fast Money.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Now they play Fast Money!
I never remembered him saying that. Anyway, so it's our friend Joyce DeWitt and John Ritter playing Fast Money. And here's the question. In 45 years, what is it? Yeah, I don't know. Let's
call it 1983.
Let's say it's 40 years ago, 42 years ago, somewhere in that ballpark. 42 years ago, the question is, name a candy bar with nuts in it. What do you think? What do you think they each said, and what do you think the number one answer was 40 something years ago?
Well, based on this, somebody's going to say something that doesn't have nuts in it.
I'm not going to reveal that.
I would say Payday.
Well, first, let's start with this. What would you guys say today? Like, I should have done it that way. I should have just put you on the spot. What's the first candy bar with nuts you think of?
Snickers. I mean, it's Snickers and Payday are your top two.
Zoe?
I would have said Snickers or Reese's.
Okay. Reese's.
Hang on.
That has peanut butter.
I know that you're his daughter, and I'm being polite. What? Have you ever had a Reese's?
Well, it's not like crunchy nuts, but if you're allergic to nuts, you can't have it. Therefore,
that's fair.
Well,
it's
peanut,
it
has nuts in
it's it. Peanut butter. Yeah. But there's no, I mean, theoretically, that would, if I may, Steve Harvey would roll his eyes and button up his nine buttons and not know how to handle that response.
Also, arguably not a candy bar. It's more of a candy cup.
I'm going to allow it in the candy bar. Yeah,
it's in the family.
It's in the aisle.
That's the least of our problems with Reese's being an answer.
Anyway.
Let's make no mistake, though. They are delicious.
Yeah. We all agree Snickers, right?
Snickers, then so, Payday I know about, and then my second one was Baby Ruth.
Mm. Oh, Baby Ruth. And what about Alma Joy's Got Nuts?
Yeah.
Mounds don't.
Got, no, mounds
because
don't. Sometimes you feel like it. Sometimes you're old.
We're not doing parodies today, man.
No.
Not on Matt's birthday.
I see.
Not anyway, with Zoe here. She doesn't know the song.
It was for her benefit.
So Joyce DeWitt went first, and she said Snickers. And nice. I was like, that's obviously going to be the number one answer. Okay. It was not the number one answer.
Well, what did John Ritter say?
Then John Ritter comes out, and he said Almond Joy. The number one answer was Almond Joy.
Oh, wow.
You know why? Because that song was in your head.
Those ads were, you couldn't escape it. And
yeah.
Something about whenever Peanuts had a special, you'd think they would be promoting something with peanuts in it. But no, those like the Halloween and the Christmas special, the, you know, You're a Good Man, Charlie, whatever, all those stupid, those were all sponsored by Almond Joy for some reason.
Smart.
Do you remember that?
I don't.
I don't, but I believe you.
It was like, it was almost like brought to you by Almond Joy.
But not Mounds.
Both. They would run both of them.
Mounds doesn't have nuts.
But those ads were sneaky because they were really advertising both of them.
100% of the time.
They're trying to make you think, oh, so Mounds sucks, right? No, they're telling you if you don't like almonds, get the Mounds.
What they're saying is this is a delicious candy bar, yeah, and you could have it as is,
yeah,
or add nuts. That's basically what it
was. Right. Yeah. And I didn't grasp that as a kid. I thought they were shitting on Mounds.
No. I
actually also had a similar feeling. I do have a question, though. Do any of us in the room, without looking it up, know why the comic strip was called Peanuts?
I assumed it was like, they never explicitly say this, but I assumed it was like this gang of children are collectively the Peanuts, like the Peanut Gallery.
Zoe probably has a better answer than that.
You want to Google that?
I thought she already did.
Seemed like she might be.
I did, and then it just talked about the etymology of the word peanut.
Oh, no.
Charlie Brown.
It might be that computer.
It is very slow. I have to say what
it might also be cursed.
Yeah. Well, Garen's been using it long enough, you know. His sloppy
ways. Yeah, inspired by the Peanut Gallery on the popular children's show Howdy Doody Show.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, all right.
My apologies to Matt.
That specific part actually makes a lot of sense, because if that's what they called the children who are watching the show.
That would have been a good Oliver trivia question.
Yeah.
Well, too late.
Too late. He's out.
Let's all wipe our memories and then.
All right, let's take a break. Yep. Happy birthday to you, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you.
We'll have those donuts at some point. Mm-hmm. Have to do a, I guess we'd have to probably do a taste test.
Sure.
Augie Smith is here. Great comedian. Augie Smith is joining us. He's waiting patiently out in the hallway. And so when we we'll take a break, we'll come back. We've got the movie game. Mm-hmm. Additional player with Zoe being here. We're going to call Garen.
Yeah.
We're going to get, hopefully he will not be in the middle of something important on that assignment that he's at.
Mm-hmm.
And then I told him, keep your head on a swivel. We can be calling any time. And then I gave him a little window where we'll call him. And then, again, there could be breaking baseball news. There could be breaking doctor news. We got a lot going on. We got earthquakes happening every other second. Thank God you felt it too, Zoe, because I also thought, like, why is nobody...
This is the first time hearing of it.
Normally when they happen, everyone texts and are like, oh my God.
Right.
The news, like, oh my God.
So none of your friends felt it?
Not a single person, except for me and Jimmy, I guess.
Yeah, we're the only two.
The two sensitive people.
Very sensitive souls.
Thank you, Zoe. We'll be back right after this.
Hey gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Augie Smith is on Instagram at Smith Augie. He's also on Facebook. He's also on Drybar. If you want to watch his stand-up, you can see his stand-up special over on Drybar Comedy. Look that up. That's great. And he's on the road occasionally. Look for him out on the road. But definitely follow him so you know where he's going to be. He's going to be in West Covina tonight if you're listening to this the second it came out. But you probably missed that. Anyway, check that out. Check out Jimmy. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv on August 10th. And you can find all his dates and deeds at jimmypardo.com. Click the show's link and enjoy.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the program, 36W, the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. We'll call Garen in a little bit. Mm-hmm. We'll check in with Garen and get his horror sci-fi movie that begins with a W. Zoe Belknap is filling in as our intern today. We're thrilled to have Zoe here. Hi, Zoe.
Hello.
Is there any breaking news coming through, MLB breaking news?
Let's check.
But look at where
Brock Stewart returns to Dodgers.
Okay, so no.
So no.
Yeah, that's a swing and a miss, and that's baseball.
That's a great
analogy.
That's
right there. That's right, the sport.
But that was breaking news, right?
That's the most recent thing.
Yeah, I'm just refreshing the page.
Yeah.
Okay. Breaking news with Gary. It's probably not even news.
That is Chris Kimmel's son, Benjamin?
No.
No.
Oh, that's Zoe.
Charlie.
No, it's Charlie.
Oh, it's Charlie.
That's Charlie from like 5 years ago before
really?
His voice changed.
All right, play it again. Yeah. No, I don't want
to hear it.
Breaking news with Gary. It's probably not even news.
That's Matt's other child. That's Charlie Belknap, who I think to this day thinks it's Gary.
I didn't see the need to correct him.
You know what? It's Garen, but you know what? You're right, son. Gary makes more sense.
Yeah.
Augie Smith is with us. No, I have nothing. Zoe, keep us posted if there's any breaking news. Even if Augie's in one of his long trademark rants, you go. You point at Elliot and you go breaking news, and then Elliot will play some music, and then you break in with that exciting MLB trade deadline news.
I got you.
Now, I'll tell you this. I know you don't know all the players, but you don't need to bother us with Brock Stewart.
Who is that? Is he was just re-signing?
Couldn't
with
tell
them,
you or? Who Brock Stewart is for $1 million. Yeah. And I'm in four fantasy baseball teams that are all in last place. So maybe I don't know enough about the game. I've known Augie Smith for upwards of 30 years. We've done some Bob and Tom tours together. Mm-hmm. But otherwise we would never be on a show together because theoretically when you were opening, I was opening, when you featuring the same and then headlining the same. And then they put together a Bob and Tom type of show where it's a group of headlining acts.
Mm-hmm.
And we all just want to go up before Donnie Baker.
Yes.
So we don't have to follow that. That guy since passed away. And
R.I.P. Donnie Baker.
To his family. I give a lot of, I support his family. Who are still with us. We wish them luck. That guy was horrible. I know you're not supposed to wish ill on the dead, but he was a racist, anti-vax whack job. Those are my words, not Augie Smith. Augie, you now live here, not far from here.
That's right.
And
I'm a neighborhood guy.
Throughout the years, we'd run into each other. You're good friends with Jackie Cation. I would see you at the coffee shop right here on the corner.
Yep.
And I would say, dude, we got to get you on the podcast. What's your email? You would tell it to me. Which is as easy as fanclub@jimmypardo.com. It's right. Not hard to remember. I would not remember it. And then I'd see you again. I go, hey, we got to get another. And then the pandemic happened. And then this, that, the other. And then I saw you. You popped by when I was at the Elks with our friend Brian Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very funny that night in front of the 8 people that were kind enough to watch us do comedy. And I said, let's do it. And you're finally here.
I'm here. I got a lot of stories. Yay! Built up, Jim. I'm very happy to be here. Because I was going to be on this, I've started listening to your show.
Okay.
And it's a delightful little piece of entertainment
that
you put together here. It's nice people. I like hearing about your lives.
Thank you.
I like hearing about your children. It's fun. And it's just light, and it's exactly what the world needs right now,
Jim. Well, I thank you for those kind words, and we will.
All right. Got to go.
See you. Augie Smith, guys. Positive energy. Thank you for that. And that's what we try to do here. Yes, we get a little, I get angry for humor. Sometimes
sure.
I get angry for not for humor. and, you know, we've lost a lot of listeners because of, our outspokenness, but kick rocks.
Who needs them? No. Who needs listeners?
Financially, I could use them, but I don't care. I'm not Jay Leno. I don't want to offend anybody. Go listen to another. Theo Vaughn's doing a show. Go listen to that dickhead. It's fine.
We don't live in a world where you can be in the middle of the road anymore, man. You got to pick a lane.
That's a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I hate it. I hate that you got to pick a lane, but you got to.
I picked the turning lane.
And
is that helpful? comedically, is that helpful? Because it didn't sound like it.
It was mildly helpful.
Yeah.
You got a chuckle.
We are in the turning lane. We're turning the world to a better spot.
We're turning left.
Sure.
Because of our words. Our
right?
words yeah. are going to change
We're
everything.
So
do you
powerful.
Do you do anything on stage? Do you?
I got to be really honest with you. So I haven't mentioned the Mad King's name on stage in about 8 years, just because I find just the mention of his name to be in itself so divisive.
Sure.
Like just you say his name and either people ooh boo or they yeah, and it's just like just the saying of his name.
But if you had a nice piece about it, you're a good storyteller, a good joke writer. If you had a piece, no.
My whole career has been a satire. My whole career has been making one point to make the other point. And so I often will pick out specific things that he's doing or things going on in the world and my support of those things, which is obviously humorous.
Right.
So what I'm doing is I'm not actually supporting them, but I'm making the case for them, Jim. So I feel like
I don't know where we are in this riddle. Am I still at a comedy show? What happened? Do I leave and get a
the doctor was his mother.
when I was young, I would do a young man's act, and a young man's act is about girls and drinking,
right?
And my freedom to have girls and to drink. And then I got older, and I did an old man's act, where all of a sudden I got married. So I did jokes about being married. Then I had a bunch of kids. I did jokes about having kids. Now I have special needs kids, so I do jokes about having special needs kids. And fortunately for the things going on in the world, I'm able to take a stand on certain things. Like, my kids are in public school. They're in public school, and I love my public school. I've had a very good experience. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you know this, Jimmy. A whole bunch of people apparently have had a very bad experience in public school.
There are some outspoken folks, yes.
And they're usually, they're groups, they start in Florida, and they're mothers, okay?
Yes.
And they're for America, which sounds fantastic, because I love mothers, I love America.
You're right.
But
what's up?
If you're for America, that means you're against the schools. And their whole big thing is that they don't want the teachers picking the curriculum, they want the parents picking the curriculum, which to me is like saying, I want the passengers flying the plane. Because the idea is that I don't know how to pick. I don't want to pick the curriculum. I'm a parent. Yeah. That's why I take.
You're a jackass comedian.
I take you to the school. Right. I take my child to the school. And these people, they get so mad. I don't want you to be the parent. Look, here's all I want out of the school. I want you to take my child for the majority of the day. I want you to teach him how to read and write and science. I want you to have a medical staff there. If he has a learning disability, I would like to diagnose and treat said learning disability. But I don't want you to be the goddamn parent. And would it kill you to carry a gun? Would it kill you to carry a gun, Jim? You're working with children, for Christ's sake. Of course you should be carrying a
you
gun.
Think that
just
yeah.
like every Little League umpire carries a gun, just like every pediatrician carries a gun. What, they didn't teach you that in Sarah Lawrence?
Does this open the set? Does it go in the middle? Do we close with this? What did we just sit through?
I was giving you an example of the satire that I did.
I get you. Thank you.
I promise not to do any more bits.
Please, for the love of God.
Good God.
How old are your kids?
I had kids at a weird age, okay. at a later age. Mm-hmm. So I have a 10-year-old, which isn't that strange. Mm-hmm. But then I have an 8-year-old. And are you guys ready for this?
Yes.
4 years old. I have a 4-year-old.
And how old are you? Are you comfortable saying?
I am a 54-year-old man. I'll be 55 in November.
Happy birthday.
Absolutely Happy birthday. True story is that I brought home my baby, my 4-year-old, the same day my AARP card arrived. I had them both on top of each other. Yeah.
Well, get your 15% off at Denny's.
You damn right. See, right? You know.
That card's worth it. It's worth it.
It's the best thing in the world. Finally.
It seems high.
Finally.
Why didn't I get one of those? I turned 50 last year. I should have that.
By the way, today's Matt's birthday.
Happy birthday
Thank
to you,
sir.
Matt.
He's also
55. And you come in and you work anyway.
It's just another day to me.
This is an American
Are you a guy that's, I mean, I'm with Matt. It's just another day. Are you a guy that like blows it up for his birthday?
What it is for me is that it doesn't matter to me, but it matters that the people in my life make a huge deal about it. If they don't, then I'm going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
But the bigger one for me is Father's Day. I'm a big Father's Day guy.
What do you want? What do you want them to do?
Ice cream cake.
But could you say that every day? I mean, what day don't you want an ice cream cake?
This is a very special ice cream cake. Because they have to screen print some sort of special message onto the top of the ice cream. This is like a $60 ice cream cake.
Okay. What was on the cake this year? What did they
this
screen print?
This year, we had Homer Simpson, and his kids were writing, I'm a big fat wiener.
Okay. Love it.
On his back, which made me laugh and made me very happy.
How delicious was the ice cream cake?
It was absolutely. When is it not delicious? I've never had a bad ice cream cake.
What flavor of choice would be what?
You got to do a mint chocolate chip. With a chocolate cake is very good. Cookie dough.
Don't know what just happened.
Cookie dough on top of also a chocolate cake is also, but it's got to be a chocolate cake and then any sort of ice cream on top of that. Mint. Yeah, you don't think so?
Just like mentioning our president, I feel like mint is a very divisive choice. There's people who love it, and then there's like me. I do not care for.
I want to
like chocolate cake.
I want to get up from eating my cake and have nice breath. Sure. That's all I want. Is that too much to ask?
Get
in this
a little
world?
Closer. Come on, don't be shy.
Come on.
Yeah.
But by the way, if I'm at your home. I'm not a fan. That would not be my first mint with chocolate cake.
Oh,
I'm at your home, I'm in. Hey, you want a piece? Yes, of course I do.
I want a piece. Of course I want a piece. So, see, with Father's Day, it's like, so for years I hated Father's Day. because I didn't have a terrible father. I just had one that wasn't there. Okay. So I took that day as like, I'm going to be sullen. And this is my righteous indignation against the world on this day. And then you have kids, and all of a sudden, every year they have to show you how much they care about you. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, it's the best day of the year. It's a great microcosm of things can change. Things can wherever you are, whatever you feel about something, that thing can change. Which is you and Trump. I think that if you really gave the man a chance, you know, listen to him.
I voted
Jim.
For him twice, and then I just couldn't. I gave him a shot twice, so I did give him a try. By the way, the look on your face. I'm kidding. Let me ask you a couple more follow-ups. All right, so we get the delicious ice cream cake.
Sure.
You then go. We will go miniature golfing. We'll do something like that.
You know, the great thing about it is it's a Father's Day where it celebrates you being a father.
Yes.
But the wife gets all the kids out of the house so I can watch the pirate game alone.
You're a pirate fan.
Oh yeah, I'm a pirate fan.
Did you hear about the Brooke Stewart exciting news? The Dodgers got him again.
Oh, it's all anybody can talk about.
Well, you guys traded away
Keep Ryan Hayes
with the Reds yesterday.
Yeah, and the thing about that is that so he's our third baseman. He's a beautiful fielder. He's just one of the. He's just a natural, but he can't hit, and there's no power. You got to hit. There's got to be some power out
but
of third base.
But they thought he was going to be as a young player. They were like, well, this guy's going to be a 25-25 guy.
Yeah, and they signed him for 7 years.
Yeah.
And so I think they wanted out of that contract. Now, the Pirates are run by idiots that only make terrible decisions.
You have a horrible
but
ownership.
This one, I'm kind of okay with
change it. Change the scenery.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's if they put $30 million more into their payroll and got two big bats, then they would be a contending team.
Well, your
they
pitching have, staff is phenomenal.
And they're all minimum salary.
Right.
We have the best pitcher in the world on minimum salary. How do you not take advantage of that?
Let me tell you about this morning, and this will make you laugh as a Pirate fan. Mm-hmm. I was at a doctor's appointment. I got in the car, and I turned on MLB radio. And you know how it gives you the little, like, what they're talking about? Mm-hmm. But sometimes it doesn't fit the screen, so it'll stop.
Yeah.
It says, Tigers acquire Paul S, and it stopped right there. And I'm like, they got Paul Skeens?
No.
Well, why would they trade it?
This is huge.
Their ownership is the worst. Why would they trade Paul Skeens? And then it was Paul Sewald. And then, oh, give a shit. But I, for a minute, went, what the fuck? That's going to be the craziest trade in the history of baseball that they'd get rid of Paul Skeens.
That was
they
actually,
didn't, of course. But.
Because their ownership is so bad and because their GM is so bad, they were talking like this year, like commentators talking about they should trade Paul Skeens, which would be the dumbest move. There's nothing you could get back from him that would be worth it. You have control over him for the next 5 years
right.
of the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
Arguably
the best player.
You have him. He's actually historically good, Jim. His first 48 starts, his ERA is below 2. That hasn't happened since 1913.
And who was it then?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Rubber arm
Paul
Jones.
Shoup.
Who do you got? Comedian Paul Scheer?
Paul Scheer. It was comedian
wow.
Paul Scheer.
Yeah. Wow.
I did not know he was
who has been alive for
20th century pitcher.
It explains a lot, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. That'd be vampiric.
You didn't think he looked good, but then you find out how old he is. he looks great.
Looks 130?
Fantastic.
The only name I know from that era that I know pitched and then stopped pitching for obvious reasons, I think Babe Ruth.
Babe
Ruth was a pitcher.
But he only pitched for a couple years.
Yeah.
What about our friend Cy Young? When did Cy pitch?
Okay.
Cy Young was pitching in that area, pitching what they call the dead ball era.
Maybe Zoe might have this.
I just looked up pitcher 1913, and it said Walter Johnson of the Washington Senators.
It was not Walter Johnson. Not Walter Big Train Johnson.
But ERA under 2.
Let's do that.
Well, he said his ERA. This says his ERA was 1.14.
Oh, but that, not that over the first 48 starts of his career.
That seems.
That's what it is. It's an odd
attitude.
Stat that you're not going to be able to find.
Eddie Cicotte?
She's thinking it might be this Eddie fella.
Cicotte.
Never heard of him.
Of the Chicago White Sox.
He was part of the Black Sox scandal.
Oh.
You should know him,
boy.
Jim.
He's a cheater.
I don't know that full team. I know a guy that doesn't wear shoes, and then I'm out.
Well, I know I think you had
Shoeless
John
Joe
Cusack
Biden?
On first
yeah,
base.
John Cusack. Yeah.
And then
D.B. Sweeney.
D.B. Sweeney, he was there. Yeah.
Who else played for that team? The beautiful
Aykroyd.
Ray Liotta.
Right.
Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd didn't play for the team.
Oh, was he the manager?
No,
he was in the
guy that said why did you bring a gun into space in Armageddon? He was on that.
I was just picking somebody from Chicago.
Oh no, we're actually doing this.
Yeah,
We're doing this, Elliot.
Yeah, fair.
You know what? I'm gonna quote. I'm gonna paraphrase Glengarry Glen Ross. Know the fucking shot before you jump in. Remember that? Remember when Jack Lemmon yells at Kevin Spacey because Kevin Spacey thinks he's helping, but he actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, my.
Yeah, it was Al Pacino that said that.
Are you sure? Yes, it was because it was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you just ruined
because
a good man's.
Yeah, because Pacino and Lemmon were doing a thing.
Yeah, and then Spacey thinks he's helping. Yeah. And then, you're right. My apologies.
One thing I've never known about Glengarry Glen Ross or just David Mamet in general, does anyone actually talk like that or is it just in his world? Because maybe there are real estate dudes somewhere that talk like that for real.
Well, they do now.
Well, you feel like you would get punched all the time.
Yeah.
Like if you did talk that way, you'd just be mangled.
Right.
Yes. and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Like I always assumed, because I realize now, I saw those things when I was young and I just assumed it was real, but now I'm thinking back. Like, no one ever says "know the shot." Is that an expression?
So you're talking about the actual linguistics, yeah, not like the attitude,
like the slang.
No, yeah.
It's like made up slang, right? Or is it? I don't know.
If he made it up, then
it's
great.
It works.
Genius.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean,
another mad king of sorts.
Yeah, he's also out of his skull.
Lost
right?
it. Yeah.
Yeah. We wish him luck as we do all madmen. Oh, Augie, you just said something. Go on.
We were talking about that.
Oh, no, oh, wait. He's out.
I remember we were all having fun, and then you jumped in with Dan Aykroyd. But at least you made fun of yourself.
I did, yes. And I was having fun.
It was, and I tried to go along. I think he was a scout or an announcer or something.
Well, wait, a couple of the other people who you said, well, at least one of them was a comedian. Who was one of them?
No.
We're
doing the cast of Eight Men Out?
Yeah.
We said John Cusack, D.B. Sweeney, Ray Liotta.
So when you said...
Funny!
Cusack was the one that I thought was a joke because...
Oh, he's from Chicago.
Yeah, and you have all your stories about
him. But he's actually in the movie.
That's
the film.
Weird.
Here's the thing about that guy. He's not only from Chicago, he's been in movies.
He's an actor.
Oh!
He's a professional actor.
Breaking news.
I was going to ask this. Are you from Pittsburgh? Is that where you grew up?
No, it's strange. So when I was a kid, I was raised in Montana, right? Oh. We don't have a baseball team in Montana. One day we'll get one. I hope that a major league franchise will move to either Billings or Missoula. We'll see. We're bigger than Sacramento. I'm okay. Sacramento has a team right now.
Temporary.
Well, why can't we? Come on now, dude.
And there's
the combined population of Montana is more than Sacramento. I'm sorry.
Are you Will Forte? What just happened? You turned into Will Forte.
Minnesota has the Timberwolves, right? Am I getting that?
Yeah,
right?
That's not close.
Go ahead.
It's kind of like the same. Like
yeah,
they have the Twins.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. No, I think Minneapolis probably has more people than Billings.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
Well, I would say the Twin Cities probably have more people than all of Montana.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fair.
This is true.
But they still have the same amount of Sundays.
Everybody in Montana would have to go to every game. I understand. But I think with a good enough team,
you know
why
what?
Not?
Who doesn't
why
go
not?
To that?
Why watch?
I mean,
why
if Green Bay can have a football team.
Where's as big as Green Bay?
Yeah.
And they have a very popular
Very popular. One of the most popular
Very
teams.
Very popular. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I was a big Red Sox fan because I was a Jim Rice fan. Do you guys know about Jim Rice?
Sure.
You know about Jim Rice?
I mean,
Jim Rice once broke a bat on a check swing. He stopped his hand so quickly that it broke his bat. That's how strong this man was.
The ball did not make contact
Jesus,
with
what?
The bat. He just stopped his swing and it broke his bat. Because he was that strong.
Did anyone check for cork or anything? It seems suspicious.
This was a metal bat. It was in a softball game.
God,
he was playing
incredible.
in an intermural softball game.
Can't even imagine.
Oh, that's amazing. He's like Paul Bunyan.
And then another story
about
him is that in Fenway Park, a little girl gets hit with a foul ball. And she got hit real badly, and she was in tough shape. And it was going to take a while for the ambulance to come through. So Jim Rice just walks up into the stands, grabs her, brings her down to the trainers, and saved her life. This is Jim
Rice.
Whoa. Wow.
So he was my favorite player.
That's cool.
That's amazing.
So I loved the Red Sox when I was growing up. But then I decided I needed a National League team. So at the time, Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla were playing with the Pirates when I was in high school. I said, they're going to be my favorite team. And now they have taken over as my favorite team. Just because they lost for 20 years. They had a losing record for 20 years in a row. 20. It is not just a record for baseball. This is a record for professional sports.
For a team to be under 500,
for 20 years in a row. Consecutive.
What years are we talking about?
Okay, I knew you were going to ask that. It was like nine. It was like
what a weird thing to say.
I don't think Jimmy even knew he was going to ask that.
I think it was 94 to 2004. I think is what our that's only 10 years.
That's only 10 years.
It's got to be more than that. That's half of it.
Not as impressive, to be honest with you.
Okay, I'm going to say 93 to 2013. I'll have to look it up, but I think that's what it was.
We can have Zoe look it up.
Zoe, can you look that up? Pirates losing record. Anyway, and so I loved rooting for them knowing that they were never going to win. Because here's the thing. Anybody can root for a winning team. Mm-hmm. But it takes guts and gumption and moxie to root for a crappy baseball team.
My favorite team's the White Sox. I know what I'm talking about.
Our
ownership
about
sucks too.
And I teach my kids to love the Pirates so they can be taught disappointment also. I don't want things to be easy for them in their lives.
Well, they got a comedian as a father. It's not going to be. they got an average middle act as a dad. They're doomed. Go ahead.
1993 to 2012.
So
you were there.
Yeah, you were there. You get it. Here's a fun Bobby Bonilla story for you.
Okay.
I'm sitting at home one day. It's the day before the All-Star game. They're playing in Atlanta.
Okay.
So whatever that would have been in the late 90s, whenever the All-Star game was in Atlanta, I don't know the exact year. Right. Paul Gilmartin hosted the show Dinner and a Movie on TBS at the time, and he was invited to go down to the All-Star game to, I guess, cover it in some way for TBS. So Paul was on the field, blah, blah, blah. But all of a sudden, I don't know any of this. That's information I got after the fact. I'm at home. My phone rings. And I said, hello. And he goes, is this Jimmy? And he goes, yeah. He goes, Jimmy, Bobby Bo. I go, what? He goes, it's Bobby Bonilla. Your friend Paul told me to give you a call. He says you play fantasy baseball. You got me active? And I said, Bobby, I got to be honest with you. I said, you're on my team, but I bench you this week. You never bench Bobby Bo. You don't bench Bobby Bo.
There's no way. Yeah. Really? This happened.
And I said, he goes, oh, that's a big mistake, Jimmy. He goes, I tell you what, we come back and we play again on Thursday after the All-Star break. I want to hit a home run because you don't have me in your lineup. And I was like, okay. And then he I don't know if he hit a home run that night, but he hit a home run over the weekend.
Oh, my God.
And it's like, and all I could thought of was like him hitting that home run and going, Jimmy Pardo.
I told you.
How great
I told
is that?
You, Pardo. That's amazing.
Here, I'll follow it up because you're a guy that loves baseball.
Yes.
So then I hang up. I'm just sitting there. And then the phone rings again. And it goes, pardon the horrible accent. Is this Jimmy? Yes. Jimmy, it's Andres Galarraga, the big cat.
It was not.
And I said, I go, oh, how you doing? He goes, Paul handed me phone. and I said, well, it's great to talk to you. I go, what are you doing? Are you prepping for the game? This is the big cat. Okay. Hey, Andres, give the phone back to Paul. Then she's sitting around. Then the phone rings. And it's play-by-play guy Skip Carey.
Sure.
No, what's the father? Harry. It was Harry, then Skip.
Right, but there was also Chip.
It wasn't Chip. It was Skip.
Okay.
So it was Chip's dad. So it's Skip Carey, and he goes, in that great Skip Carey, Carey legendary voice, Jimmy, it's Skip Carey. Paul gave me the phone. I go, oh, hey, Skip, thanks for the call. So he says, oh, yeah, it's exciting. You know, we're here. We're getting ready for the game. And then he goes, then it's quiet. He goes, well, what can I do for you? And I go, you called me. I go, give the Paul. He goes, all right, I'll give the phone back to Paul.
What can I do for you?
And there was a fourth one, and I do not remember who the fourth person was. But first of all, my friend Pogue Martin is either that bored out of his mind, but he got all these guys to call.
That's amazing.
Isn't that great?
You'll never do better.
But
than
the
that.
Bobby Bo one is just.
This is Bobby Bo.
He's mad at me that I don't have him in my lineup.
Mention him.
You're Mark Dewey. You would know Mark Dewey. He was the closer for the Pirates back in the late 90s.
Wait, Mark Dewey?
Mark Dewey. D-E-W-E-Y.
Okay.
And he, my friend Steve Iott. You know Steve?
No.
Out of Michigan. Funniest guy in the world. Steve.
Jim, I'm right here.
Steve Iott's the funniest guy in the world. And before comedy, he ran a golf course, and Mark Dewey was a kid who would claim, I'm going to be in the major leagues one day. I'm going to be in the major leagues. And Steve was like, yeah, well, today you're raking sand. So Steve and Mark remained friends for years. And then Mark Dewey is the Pirates are playing the Cubs in Chicago. And Steve happens to be working in Chicago. So we go to a Cub game. And then so Cub game in the afternoon. Then at night, Mark Dewey invites us to go out to this at the hotel, they have a lounge there where all the players hang out so they don't get bothered by all the fans and stuff.
Right.
And so we're in there, and it's all the Cubs and all the Pirates are in this lounge. Sammy Sosa's walking around with all chains, and it's crazy. But we're sitting in a corner talking with Mark Dewey because it's Steve's friend.
Right.
And so he said, you know, about your fan. I said, well, actually, I know who you are. You're on my fantasy team. And he goes, what? And he goes, I close for the Pirates. And I'm like, I go, yeah, but you have three closers, you know, on your team and this. And he said, he goes, well, am I active? And I go, yeah, of course. You know, he's like, oh, okay, great. So then we chit chat more and more. Okay, so cut to the game the next day. We're at the game. The Pirates are up by whatever, one. Mark Dewey comes in to close the game. He gives up one hit. Then he gives up a second hit to Glenn Allen Hill. And then after the game, we go out to dinner with him. And he said, all I thought when Glenn Allen Hill hit that ball was, I hope Jimmy has Glenn Allen Hill on his team. Great, right?
That's fantastic.
There's some Pirate stories for you.
The Glenn Allen Hill, for those that are listening that don't know baseball, was
you got three
maybe
in this room.
One of the biggest guys to ever play. He was a huge muscular man, and he had a play at the plate where he knocked out a catcher.
Oh,
he hit the catcher so hard, and the catcher goes back, and he had to leave the game. And they were talking to the catcher later, and I don't remember who the catcher was, but he says, even my hair hurt.
So did he accidentally hit him with the bat? Is that the situation?
Oh, no. He was trying to score, and the catcher was blocking the plate.
Gotcha.
And he plowed down through.
Wow.
You are no longer allowed to
and
do that.
And then he picked up the bat, and he beat him with it. Which is allowed if the play is still going.
Sure.
Specifically in his hair. He just kept hitting the top of his head.
I hate hair.
Just grazing the scalp. Just hitting his hair.
Very accurate.
I hate
for a
hair.
Big guy.
Glenn Allen Hill did not have hair. Right.
Well, my people, we hate hair.
You hate all hair.
We keep it to ourselves. We keep it to ourselves, the balds. But we really, we look at the people with hair and we think you're weak.
But you like the facial hair.
Yeah, yeah. Facial hair is great.
Keep it
body
down low.
Hair, arm hair, leg hair, love it all.
Just up top.
Up top, forget about it. Nope. Smooth dome, baby.
Love it. Here's my other pirate story for you, then okay. We're done. I was the guy that told them to play We Are Family back in 79.
Wow. Amazing.
That was me.
Did they thank you?
To this day, no. That's why I bring it up.
Yeah.
You'd think I would at least get a thank
you.
You
hate them now because of that.
I hate them. They are not family.
No, not to you.
They were. I'm on board with the Pirates. I'm with you. I kind of root. I root for the A's. I root for the Pirates. I root for. Although the Marlins are doing okay, but teams that don't do well, historically,
right?
I root for them, and then I hope that's their. Those guys don't want to suck. They all come in going, look, we don't have the same team as the Yankees, but you know what? We're all going to do our best. And what if that all works?
So I was, like I said, I was a Red Sox fan when I was young. And I watched the 86 World Series, and it was like heartbreaking and everything. So then they finally win in 2004. And that was very exciting.
Yeah.
But here was the thing about it. I realized how empty it was. Like, my life was not made better by that. Mm-hmm. You know, even watching the most exciting playoff game of all time.
Right.
And the coming back from down 3-0 to win that.
You actually liked it better when you were rooting for a team that didn't win?
I didn't understand that at the time, and I still don't quite understand it. But after they won, I still kind of like the Red Sox. But now they're just some elite pricks that have won everything. It's like
you weren't Emerson,
like in
so you
in comedy. I came up in Portland, and now I could have helped out Ron Funches. I could have helped out Ian Carmel and a whole bunch of other really successful comedians.
Yeah.
Instead, I picked just the drunks and the drug addicts who've all drank themselves to death or killed themselves by now. And the point is, it's like I was more comfortable with them. Because they're losers, and I'm just attracted to losers, and I don't know what that is psychologically.
I don't know. Join the club.
But that's why I'm here, baby.
Look around you. Zoe excluded. Zoe's here. Zoe's here.
She's got a bright future.
She's filling in. She got a bright term of future.
Yeah. I believe it or not, I also have a pirate story.
Hey!
And I don't follow baseball. I don't not interested in the game. But my dad is a baseball guy, and we were in Florida when I was in high school. We were in Florida for spring break, and I don't remember where we were—Tampa or somewhere around that area.
Probably Tampa, St. Pete, right? That's where spring training is.
And the Pirates were playing spring training game, and so we went. And it was that era. It was Bobby Bonilla. Like I got to stand. next to a fence, and he walked right by me, and it was crazy. I mean, speaking of a giant man, and like a Superman, like you'd just be like, wow, that guy is larger than life in every way. So that was exciting, and I knew who he was, even though I didn't follow the game. I was like, well, that guy I know, because he's like, you know, a star. So that was cool. I don't remember anything about the game or whether he did anything in the game. It was just
spring training.
It was just one of those things. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to a spring training game, but it's weird. It's like being at a high school game in terms of there's no barrier
right
between
then,
you.
Yeah.
Now there's stadiums.
Oh,
now
okay, really?
Right. It's still looser than MLB, but back then it would be like, they'd be sitting right there.
Yeah.
The metal seats, like you watch like a high school game.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I used to, when I was a kid, we lived in Arizona and we'd go to the spring training in Arizona and it was like high school stadiums. It was fantastic. You were right there.
So exciting. Yeah. Which is why people would make the journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We're going to go spend a week watching spring training. Like you got baseball right in your backyard. But then once I went, it's like, oh, this is why they do this. You're right. You're in the batter's box. Yeah. Like, you're literally there.
Well, Bobby Bonilla also made the greatest deal in the history of sports. Do you know about this?
Mm-mm.
Every year, Bobby Bonilla gets a little over $1 million from the New York Mets. Like, I think for the rest of his life, it's been going on for like 30 years.
Did you hear
years.
The origin of that? Is that the thought was, let's make this deal, and the money that we're not going to pay him up front, this is 100% true. They invested with Bernie Madoff.
No, that is not true.
It is true. And so they invested. Yeah.
So they thought we're going to make so much more.
It's like, hey, we're smarter than everyone. We're going to make so much more. And so we're going to pay him. We don't care that we're going to pay him because we're going to make so much money
over here.
We're going to
be paying him from all the profits of this.
Yeah, if he lives for 100 more years, that's going to be a fraction of what we're going to get from
exactly.
Yeah, trustworthy Bernie Madoff.
What's the number? It's like something crazy. It's like for 50 years or 30 years, they pay him. It's still happening because it happened this year.
The date was a couple weeks ago. It was Bobby Bonilla Day. Mm-hmm. So I don't know when it stops. But I think it's like 2035 or something.
It's crazy. Yeah. Well, wow. Good for him.
Good for Bobby Bonilla.
Well, Bobby Bo played for the White Sox for a little bit.
So I have a question. I'm sure I could look this up, but I figured I'd throw this out to you. When they do spring training,
yes.
Is that inter-team they're playing against each other, or they play against minor league? Do they play against
other MLB teams?
Really?
Yeah, everybody's getting ready for the season.
Sometimes they play college teams and stuff, though. Yeah. And sometimes they have split squads where they send half the team one place and half the team another place. Mm.
Or sometimes they will play just once the schedule starts, it doesn't. But prior to that, they'll, you know, 9 against 9. Because you got all the minor leaguers, the AAA guys. You got a bunch of guys in there. Which is, if you go to see a spring training game, you're not going to see the stars. Because they don't really need to. They don't want at bat.
You might get injured then and you don't want to, too. Is that
right?
As a fan, you mean?
Yeah, because you know there's no fence.
You're so close.
Yeah, and then you're not gonna have what's his name to come and pick you up and take you to the.
There's no Jim Rice there.
There's no Jim Rice there.
There's no Jim Rice in baseball today. Zoe, speaking of baseball, any breaking news?
Let me check.
Thank you for turning the mic on for that.
Yeah, I thought you were either refreshing it or turning the mic on.
The Pirates have traded Paul Skeens for four magic beans.
The Tigers added Cody Hoyer.
H-U-E-R.
Yeah.
Hoyer.
Again, I beg of you.
Good for him.
I watch baseball every day. I have no idea who that is.
I did ask. I believe he's a reliever, if I'm not mistaken.
Everybody's a reliever. Yeah. That's all that gets traded this time of year. It's strange.
Yeah. When it comes to athlete names, like golf has the most obscure names, right? But then baseball comes right next to it.
Oh, you got a lot of...
Because there are some... You have some Hawaiian folks in football, you know, and maybe a couple of...
Samoans.
Yeah. I think you got more unique first names in football.
Yeah, okay. But there's nothing to that. It's just our perception of it, right? Like, there's no reason for it.
What do you mean by that, sir?
There's no reason why. Like, I kind of get with golf, you're just one person, so pretty much anybody can, if they're good, they can just kind of try. But, like, for baseball versus football, is there any reason why you'd have, like, more Polish people in baseball, as an example?
By the way, if you could find one Polish person in baseball.
I feel like there's a lot of, like...
It's not 1959.
Oh, okay.
Do you know
back then?
Do you know why it takes 1,000 Polish guys to change a light bulb?
Oh boy,
why is that?
It's one guy to hold the bulb and the other 1,000 to turn the stadium.
Hey, that's fun. There's the magic of a Portland comedian.
That's right.
So who did you start with, Augie? These
let's see. Do you know my friend Dwight Slade?
I do know Dwight Schlade. I did some Bob and Tom shows with him.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He would sit. He would do something. He would sit in a chair and he would drive. He did a bit where he sat in the chair.
Yeah, he had a very long tape cue bit.
Yes,
where it was him listening to the radio and him reacting to all the stuff on the radio.
That's what
there's
it was.
A whole story that's told. And the funny thing is, so he had had this idea for a long time. So he finally goes into a professional studio and he spends a whole bunch of money. And it's like at the time, like a 9-minute bit.
Wow, that's
so he says the first time he did it, it just absolutely bombed because it was way too
why won't
long.
This end?
And people are like getting up out of their seat and wandering around right. And yeah, making dinner reservations and such. And so he like leaves the gig like, oh, what have I done? Because he spent thousands of dollars to make this thing, right? And then he just chopped it down to like 4 minutes, and then it became like the greatest bit you've ever seen.
Right.
Like, it absolutely destroyed.
It's really great.
It was the most consistent bit I've ever seen.
Wow.
I've never seen it not destroy.
Good for him.
Yeah. But besides that, he's also one of the – he was great friends with Bill Hicks. Like, they were childhood
right.
friends. So when they were 15, they had a comedy team of Slade and Hicks, and they would ride their bikes to the comedy clubs in Houston together.
That's awesome.
there used to be a picture up at the Seattle Comedy Underground of the two of them when they're teenagers. And so they were great friends. And, of course, you know, Bill Hicks died when he was 33 or whatever. And so
didn't
I
didn't look at AO over 50.
Why does God take the young?
Ill of the dead today?
I thought he was so much older. Is my point. He looked like a grown up man to
right. me. But the other thing, if you look, he kind of just had a baby face. But
yes.
It was just that he was always squinched and he was smoking
yeah.
and he put the leather jacket on him and he looked like an old man. But Dwight was always telling me these great stories about Hicks. So Hicks is working Walnut Grove up in Northern California.
Yeah.
And there used to be a club. It was about 150 seats in it, and there were long tables like you. Sit at a long table, right? So it's a regular show, MC, feature, headliner. MC goes up and there's two women right in front sitting across from each other, won't stop talking. MC's nail them, they won't stop talking. Club isn't doing anything about it. Feature goes up, talking to them, they won't stop talking. So Hicks gets on stage and he has a drink in one hand and a mic in the other and he hunkers down like a catcher.
Right.
And he looks at him, he says, "What the fuck are you two bitches talking about?" And she goes to throw her drink in his face. He takes his mic hand and he blocks the drink. The drink shatters. They both scream, "Get up and leave." Now, the crowd can't see all this. What the crowd sees is this lunatic hunker down, say, "What the fuck are you two bitches about?" and then throw his microphone at her face.
Yes.
So in unison, they all get up and, "Oh, this is ridiculous," and get up and leave, except for like 9 people. And as Hicks said, "You got to kind of wonder about the 9 that stayed." He hit her. What's he going to do next, man?
The good thing about Bill is he didn't have a short fuse. he was always right, by the way. He always,
right.
You know, he was always on the right side of things. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, he did not suffer fools at all. And yeah. he would, like, I was at the, there's the famous, it's on the internet, at the Funny Firm in Chicago, yeah. where he just completely loses it. We were all there because we were all in Chicago.
You were at that show.
I was at that
okay,
show.
Okay, yeah. I was going to tell the story of that show next.
We would do our shows, and then we would all then, we do our shows in the suburbs. Or in the city, and then go. We're all going to see the. We're all going to go to the Funny Firm and see the third show, right? And see Hicks, and we all got. It was former friend, current nut job, Jimmy Dore.
Mm-hmm.
Me, boy, who else was? I think Siegel was there. Got him, John Bongiorno. But we all went there, and then it started fine, and then it just. But they started just walking everybody. And what do you remember about that show? Because you probably seen it more recently.
I was
going to
tell you, this was I wasn't actually there, but this was Dwight called him the next day, and they were just talking like people talk about whatever, you know. And then finally, Dwight says, "How'd the show go last night?" And Bill goes, "Oh man, not so good. All I remember is I was laying on the stage screaming, 'Hitler was right,' or 'Hitler was right. He just wasn't motivated enough,' while people were filing out."
Yes. It was something to see.
Yeah, I can't believe you were there.
Yeah. And it was one of those things where, like, even as a comic, you know, where I guess we were 70% on his side.
True.
And 30% of, like, well, you're kind of bringing this on yourself, dude. You're kind of, So, like, I don't know if you need to be saying that, but at the same time, laughing like crazy because who the shit says that stuff?
Right. And also, there are just a group of people in this world that sabotage themselves, that do not do well with doing well.
Yeah.
That have to do something to make it worse.
Yes, yeah. 100%.
There's just a group of people like that, and many of them are creative geniuses. And Bill Hicks was one of those people.
He
was a creative genius. And I don't want to, you know, break into a psychology of him because I never knew him. But I just think that I've seen that over and over again where people can't take doing well in life. You know? Mm-hmm. Our friend Brody Stevens, man. You know, he was doing great.
Yeah.
He was doing great. I'll tell you my favorite Brody Stevens story I wasn't even there for. So Brody, we lived in the same neighborhood, and he was like lived two blocks away. And you just always see him. He was just always walking around the neighborhood with his big gorilla arms, you know, just swinging around.
just perfect posture.
Straight up and down straight, wherever he went, and just perfect diction. Hello. And so we had just had our second child, and Brody had not met her yet. And so my wife is walking to the Starbucks that is the Brody Stevens Starbucks on across from Gelson's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Laurel Canyon. Yeah. And not Ventura, but the other one. Moore Park.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she's walking. She's got the double stroller. And Brody is across the street, and he sees her. And he's like, Julie, wife of Augie. And she went to Ohio State. So, and he's saying this as he's walking across the street, and in my head, like, cars are just slamming on their brakes as not to hit him, as he's just in big gorilla arms and his perfect posture. Julie, wife of Augie, Ohio State, Columbus, Stroop doesn't book me, had a bad guest set. He goes over and he sees her, and then he looks down and he sees my son Porter, who he knew, who was 2 years old, and he says, Porter, son of Augie. And then he looks and then he sees this little girl that he's never seen before. And he kind of looks at my wife with an odd look, and she says, Brody, this is our daughter, Dorothea, we call her Dottie. And he looks down at her, he comes back and says, she looks fine. like there was this rumor that there was something wrong with my baby. And he was closing it. She looks fine.
You see him walk away and he's like, I just saw the kid.
Fine, I'm telling you. Fine.
What a great story. That was the beauty of Brody Stevens. I ran into him at Best Buy once up in, was it not Tarzana, but where would it be? Up north. But I just happened to be in the area killing time before a gig, and I'm in the Best Buy, and it's just Jimmy, same deal. Jimmy Pardo, White Sox fan. And then just starts listing 708 area code. All the, like, you just had a brain where he remembers, like, you remembered your wife's name, where she was from. Like, that's who that guy, boy, that guy
I known
so
guys
funny.
35 years. I can't tell you their wife's name. It's just a thing in life. And he always remembered my wife's name, my kid's name. If I saw him and they weren't around, he would ask about them.
Yeah.
It was just like, you know, who does that? Nobody does that. He does that, you know. Yeah. And I knew him from when he was in Seattle, because I was in Portland. He was in Seattle, and he had on TV when anybody can have a show. It's the
public access show,
right?
Wait, Brody had a public access?
Oh, yeah. Him and this guy, Tana Manu. And it kind of became very popular. Like they gave him like the midnight slot for an hour, and it was just the two of them being idiots back and forth to each other. It's fantastic. There's
I couldn't imagine a young Brody Stevens.
Yeah.
He always seemed 52, even though he wasn't.
Yeah.
Wow. Those were great. Good.
Oh, man. But the classic Brody Stevens story is I doing a gig with him in Kingman, Arizona, right? And so we're driving from L.A. together. And Brody was a lot of fun, but being trapped in a car with him.
That's a lot.
Woo! You're just driving. He's like, Indio, home of George Duke Majian. So we're driving along. And I've had enough of him, right? So I'll give you the real quick story. As we do the gig, I go out with these people all night into Nevada, and I come back, and we had to leave early for some reason. So I come from somebody else's car, get in our car, and now he's driving us back. And it's just, he's got the seat all the way back, you know, and his big hair. hairy gorilla arms. And he's one of these guys that he looks at you while he's driving to talk to you. He's like, what did you do last night? You had sex. You had sex. And so we're driving. And I'm like, Brody, can we just go? So we stop at a McDonald's to get some breakfast. And we're sitting there. And as I'm ordering, I was rude. I was rude to the woman. I just was. I was rude to her. I was in a bad mood. I had Brody in my face. And so we sit down, and Brody's just like, Augie, you harmed her.
Oh.
You harmed that woman. You need to go apologize. And I'm like, Brody, I don't want to. You need to go apologize. It's like, all right. And then the point is, he was right. I did. So I get up, and I think I'm going to go up alone, but I'm not. Brody goes with me.
He's shepherding.
And there's a small amount of people there, and there's like two lines, so we got to get in her line. We got to wait a couple people. Then I get up there, as I'm about to open my mouth, Brody claps. Okay, everybody, Augie has something he would like to say to Teresa, because she's got the name tag on. Augie, you have the floor. Now, people think I'm going to propose. Now I got, there's like 9-10 people looking at us, and all the people have stopped working looking at us. And it's like, Teresa, I ordered a little bit earlier, and I was very rude to you. I was very short with you, and it was completely my fault, and I'm really sorry. It had nothing to do with you. It all has to do with me, and I hope you'll accept my apology. Now, before she can say anything, Brady says, okay, well, Augie is giving you a seemingly sincere apology, but you never know what's in a man's heart, do you? No. Teresa, do you accept his apology? And she just goes, yeah. He goes, yes! What did he say? He said, retribution! Yeah. Forgiveness! And then he led everybody in a little round of applause.
God bless.
Yeah.
That's worth the car ride of nonsense.
It was fantastic.
Oh my God, that's wonderful.
Like, you can hear it, because he said the word yes, that was like his signature line,
yes,
basically.
Retribution!
Yes. Yeah.
God, that's wonderful. Oh, my God. Augie Smith is our guest. Augie's a terrific comedian. If he's ever in your city, certainly take an opportunity to go and watch him. Now, Zoe, I have not read this text, but I threatened I would get a text. It is not Mike Schmidt. It is Fritz Nothnagel.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if it's baseball related.
Okay.
I have not read it. Do we have breaking White Sox news?
Not White Sox news, but Pirates news.
Here we go.
Well, kind of. Oh, Yankees add bullpen help in David Bednar.
Oh, the Yankees get Bednar. I thought he was going to go to the.
Oh, that means they got nothing back for him. The Yankees don't have anybody in their system.
Yeah. Well, who did they get back? Did they say who they gave up? Was it Ben Rice?
Son of
no.
James?
Devin Williams?
Devin Williams? He's not even a prospect.
I think I'm reading the wrong thing.
No, they want to get rid of Devin Williams. It's possible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know.
All right. All right, let's see what
I'm really confused what these words mean, I have to be honest.
You know what? This is Fritz Nothnagel just saying, sorry to be late, but happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Jim. And on time for you.
Yeah. Nice. No, wait, what is the deadline?
3 p.
Okay.
So we're a little less than 3 hours away.
All right.
Of what? The trade deadline.
Okay. Yeah.
Of wishing Jimmy a happy
so
birthday.
So far,
there's
you
a
have
hard
to say happy birthday.
Right? Anything after the repair, I don't accept it.
You get 4 days.
It's a weird window of time, but
it seems like enough time to get in. Yeah. Again, so we're on Cub and White Sox alert.
I'm just refreshing the page.
I understand. I appreciate
the updates, because I don't think anyone cares. Or wait, hold on. I don't think there's just like a White Sox specific updates page.
Well,
that I can find.
I bet if you went MLB. To like the Reddit like r/White Sox that someone will post it as soon as it happens. But don't do that. I think you're in the right place.
Oh, I like where she's at because we got the Pirate news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what if the Harrison Bader trade from earlier, which let me know that now the Phillies are not getting Robert. Something like that else could happen. Like the Dodgers.
Wait, I didn't hear about it. Who got Robert?
The Phillies.
Oh, okay.
No, nobody got Robert yet.
Okay.
We thought he was going to the Phillies.
The thing about Bednar, he's the Pirates closer, but he's from Pittsburgh. Like, he's a hometown boy.
Oh.
And so he's a really nice story that way. Mm. He had a really tough last year and a bad beginning of this year, but he's converted 16 saves in a row.
I know.
And now he's turned around. I would love to see them keep him. And I hope they got something back. But I know that they didn't. I know that they didn't. I know they didn't get anything back.
Okay, who are you talking to?
They never
right
do.
Now? It sounds like you're just really
kind of... Why? Why? Why do I... What am I? And I'm not attached to the team.
You have
I don't work
you
for them.
You could walk away today.
I could walk away. I could walk away and be happier. I could root for the Dodgers and their $300 million payroll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could too, but I still support the White Sox. And
good for you.
And then the Cubs, then the Dodgers, in that order. That's who I root for.
So you'd go for the White Sox and the Cubs? Because that's rare.
As I've always said, I root for the White Sox 100%. Once they are out of it, which this year was from the get-go, I root for the Cubs. Because if I want one of them to make the World Series.
Right.
Be from Chicago. I think it's exciting. I'm not mad at clothes.
But if they play each other, you obviously root for the White Sox.
Oh, although last weekend I was torn.
Oh, right. You were saying because the White Sox have no chance.
Cubs to beat the White Sox.
Right.
But I really wanted the Sox to win. But the Cubs winning was more important.
It's confusing.
Luckily, the Cubs won 2 out of 1. Two out of three, rather, in the one the White Sox won.
Mathematical anomaly.
That's how good they are.
They won 2, and there was only 1 game.
That's how good the Cubs are this season. It's really a magical team.
Yeah. I guess if you beat a team badly enough, they give you 2 wins for it.
Yeah. And they deserved it. All right. Good players on the Cubs. Good players on a lot of teams.
Jimmy,
did you ever know
Mark Wilde? Did you know a comic named Mark Wilde? He was around L.A. in the 90s, and then he moved to Vegas. I'll just tell you quick. He was a bit of a lunatic. You know, you didn't want to go eat with him because if anything went wrong with the service, he was just a madman.
Okay.
Anyway. But R.I.P.
He's also passed away?
I only know dead people. And so, this is just a beautiful sort of showbiz story. He was coming through Portland the last night of Cheers. So we're talking 32 years ago or whatever here. And he's staying in my little basement apartment that I had, and I had a tiny TV. So we're like, well, let's go to a bar and we'll go watch it, right? Mm-hmm. So this radio station was sponsoring this, you know, last night of Cheers thing. So we weren't just showing the thing. They were going to have like a look-alike contest, okay? Now the contest prize was $200, which is what we used to make for doing a night of comedy.
Right.
So it was like, it was a pretty big deal. And the thing about Wilde is he does really good impressions, and he did a very good Cliff Clavin impression. So on stage, there's like 4 people. There's a woman that sort of looks like Carla, and there's a woman that sort of looks like Shelley Long, and there's a guy that sort of looks like Ted Danson, and then there's Mark Wilde. And so they hand the mic to the other people, and they do their dumb, and it's not very good. And then they give it to Mark Wilde, who like twists his face to look like John Ratzenberger, and then does a perfect Cliff Clavin, and he's in the moment, he's talking about the people that are there, and he destroys, he kills, right? And so they're like, all right, well, let's do applause, see who wins, and they do the hand over the head, and they're like, nothing, and then over Wild and whole, what? Crazy, right? So they have an envelope full of $200, and they're handing him the money when you hear a guy from the crowd yell, Norm! And everybody looks.
Oh, no.
And there's a guy sitting at the bar that's just a fat guy in a suit. And everybody looks over, and he's got like a beer mug in his hand. He's like, what? And everybody goes, Norm, Norm, Norm. And they pull the money back.
Oh, no.
They pull the money back.
No.
And this guy wins. He's just like, what? Okay, yeah, I'll take $200.
What the F?
And it's just a beautiful allegory just for show business in general.
My God.
A guy fit the suit, Jim.
It was Greg Brady. Good heavens.
So did this guy go crazy?
How does
that was just Wilde's life. That was just the way things went for him.
Wow.
So I'm sure as the money was going into his hand, he's like, there's no way I'm getting this.
Jesus. That's craziness.
Something will happen.
That's so funny.
I was doing a one-nighter at Nebraska, the last night of the Cheers show, the last episode of Cheers. And they delayed the show so that the bar could watch Cheers.
Okay.
And then not watch comedy. But it was, I remember I was talking to a comedian. Do you ever remember Gary Laser? Do you remember Gary Laser?
No way, that's a real name.
That's a real name.
Gary Laser.
Gary Laser had the greatest voice in Gary Laser. He had a great voice. And so I the next day I call up and I tell him, we happen to be talking. And he goes, hey, did you do a show last night? Well, they delayed it. And then nobody stayed. It was horrible. And, you know, I'm working with a guy named Paul Frisbee. And Gary goes, is that his real name? And I said, I don't know. And he goes, you didn't think to ask? His name's Frisbee. And I just, to this day, just whenever the Cheers thing comes up, that comes up. Not nearly as funny as the Mark Wilde story, but I'm with him. How do you not ask, is Frisbee your real last name?
Did you ever ask Laser?
I would have asked.
Is Laser his real name?
That's a good follow-up.
Yeah.
Like, he brought it up. It's the perfect time to ask.
That's a good follow-up.
But if you were going to think of a funny name, it wouldn't be Frisbee.
Wouldn't it
but
be
But all these years later, you remember his name. So maybe that's the whole point.
He was a real nice guy. Paul Frisbee, out of Peoria, Illinois. Pekin, Illinois, actually.
And the thing is, I think I know that guy. I think I know Paul Frisbee.
You know Paul Frisbee?
Yeah, I think I know him. yeah, because I work Peoria all the time. My man Dan, who is just hanging on by his fingertips, man. Yep. They're gonna have to drag him out of comedy. Like, remember in Fargo, the way they got William H. Macy out the window? that's gonna be Dan leaving comedy.
Dan won't be happy. You know, this is you at the Red Sox. Dan is always on the verge of closing, and the club is it's nothing's going right. Nothing, and he will complain about it. But he won't be, if it ever succeeds, if it ever turns around, he
wouldn't know what to do.
He wouldn't know what to do. It'll bum him out.
Yeah, he's a dog catching a car at that point. And the thing is, it's nobody has ever loved stand-up comedy more than Dan.
Yeah.
When you got into comedy, you hoped that every owner was like him.
Right.
Even though he's a complete and utter lunatic. Because he loves the comedy so much and you can do no wrong
with
him.
He's a great guy. Yeah. A great guy.
And he tapes all those sets. So he has
I don't care for that.
He has just rooms full of old VHS tapes.
Yeah.
Of probably us in the 90s.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that he has that. That's also...
I love that somebody has it.
Did we sign off on that?
No. No. At no point do we
ever sign off on that. I guess that's what I mean. I don't want evidence of me sucking at a Second Show Friday in Peoria.
That's the only evidence that I was alive in the 90s. Like, there are two pictures of me in the 1990s. And I have some fuzzy memories.
Now, you're making a lot of references to this. Were you an absolute fall-down drunk in the 90s?
I like to have fun. But I wasn't so bad of a drunk that I didn't get stuff done. Like, I would do the show, and then I would get hammered after the show.
Okay.
And there was a lot of blackouts and stuff.
Okay.
But I always got the thing done. I always made sure I went to the gym. I always made sure I was at the show on time, and I wasn't hammered during the show. So I was, I guess you would call it a functional alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. And you're sober now?
No.
Oh.
No.
You still do this?
Yeah. Well, no, I don't do that.
He said
I don't
he
do
likes
that.
To have fun, not that he likes
I
to
don't,
have
I
fun.
Don't.
Fair.
I don't do that.
And do you travel a lot?
Not as much as I used to. So out of my three kids, so my 10-year-old is what we would have called Asperger's. They don't call it that anymore. Then my 8-year-old is fine. It's fine. There's nothing funny about her.
And I hear she's fine. That's what Brody said.
Brody said she's fine.
He's stamped.
Looks okay to me.
And then my 4-year-old is nonverbal autistic, so it's very hard to leave town anymore.
Sure.
I can do weekend gigs, and so I usually go out twice a month. I'll do a Friday, Saturday, or I do a lot of corporates, so those are just one night, and that's good. And the thing about it is, it's I've never been crazy successful at comedy, but I've made a living for 33 years now, which
one would say,
Jimmy, there's maybe 1,000 guys walking the face of the earth that can say the same thing.
That's the weird thing about comedy is people don't understand that while you might not be a household name, you've made you pursued your dream and you achieved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've never had to wear a name tag. I don't, if I got to get up early, it's for morning radio. It's not because I got to go dig a hole or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I've just been insanely lucky my whole life. I've done a minimal amount of work to kind of get everything that I ever wanted.
Yeah.
And people still pay me to go up and tell jokes. And I have a wife that I love and a family that I love. We own a house and things are good.
Well, there's a reason for it. You're very good at it. You're a good stand-up comedian. That's even that little set that you did the other night at the Elks was terrific.
And
tomorrow night, now this show doesn't drop until Sunday, but I believe if it's tomorrow or Saturday, you're in Yorba Linda?
I'm in Yorba Linda on Saturday, but if this drops on Sunday?
Yeah.
Tonight, then I'll be at Chatterbox.
It'll be too late.
I'm doing West Covina. Come on out.
I didn't know West Covina had a club.
They have the best little independent bar in Southern California. They've been doing a show there for years and years. It's got to be 15 years.
On Sunday nights.
On Sunday nights. It packs. And it's just a really comedy savvy crowd.
Really?
No heckling, no table chatter. Everybody's into it. It's one of the best gigs going.
Wow, really?
And I can get you in there, Jimmy.
It sounds like you got a connection here.
I got a connection.
Big
Hearn. You're
not
going to
run Funches me?
Steve Hernandez? You don't know Big Hearn?
I don't know.
He's the man. Yeah.
Is the man?
The man.
He's got a one-nighter in Covino. Who gives a shit?
They do three nights.
What?
They do an open mic, and then they do a Thursday. But the Sunday, that's the show.
Sunday's the big one.
Yeah.
I call that free money. If you could drive to it and come home with them, that you didn't do anything. Like, because you like doing stand-up.
Yes.
So to drive and do stand-up, and then they give you money, you drive home, and you're home.
And even better if you get picked up.
West Covina's, they're sending a car? Big Steve? What the fuck his name was?
They book a guy from Valley, and he comes, picks me up, and takes me out there. Oh, and then I give him $20, and I don't have to drive.
Because you like to...
Jimmy will give them $20 to not have to take that car ride with that guy.
You know what? Meet you there.
No. I don't want to have an awkward conversation.
No. No. If it's you, I don't take that ride. I like you, and I'll say I'll meet you there. I don't know. I'll meet Matt for late. Should we drive together? I'll see you there. I'm good.
I was doing Indianapolis one time, and I was staying like 20 minutes from the club. And the MC comes and picks me up, and it's one of those things you've never met him before. And we're driving, and he's talking, and I'm just like, okay. And then he gets on stage, and his second thing he says, I have autism. And I just went, oh, okay. That straightens it out.
That explains 20-minute ride.
It was just audibly like, oh, okay, now I understand, because the conversation was odd otherwise.
Yeah. I think we had a lot of that in comedy. I think that
we do. It kind of bothers me sometimes because, like, my kid, he has the real autism, Jimmy. He has the uncut Peruvian flake autism. There's these movies of Ben Affleck. He's an autistic hitman? He can't be. He doesn't have that kind of autism. There's all these TV show, movie star, Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper wins a Nobel Prize. He's got autism. No, that isn't what I know as autism. What I know as autism is nonverbal, can't, you know, need to be taken care of all the time. But any comedian that can't make eye contact during a sentence tells you that they have autism. And you're like, do you?
Did you
self-diagnose?
All right. I take your bit. And I don't want to get mad at these guys when they take the fun out of something. But isn't there a range? Is there not a range?
That's why they call it a spectrum. It's a spectrum. And the thing is, we've taken the different, like, we don't use Asperger's anymore because Dr. Asperger was a Nazi, was the idea.
Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah, so we took his disease. Because it's like, you don't get a disease if you're a bad guy.
No.
You got to be a pretty good guy to get a disease in this country, bub.
Yeah, you could be Garrick.
Garrick, great guy. Uh-huh. Never going to lose his disease. Never going
to
be taken away.
Cut to you. Did some research. Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Here's a sentence from probably a man of his time.
He said what to Life magazine? What?
Yeah.
But it's a big spectrum where two people can have the same condition and have it have very different effects on them. So there's that.
Well, it's the same with OCD. I've been diagnosed with OCD, but I don't have OCD in the way that others have it. The OCD I have is time consuming. So I couldn't imagine somebody that has it 100 times what I have, and I know that that's the case. So
do you got to flick off light switches certain amounts of time?
I don't. I've got my own little things that
I saw a guy one time on a talk show, and his thing was every time he backed his car out of anywhere, he had to get out and look that he hadn't run over anything.
Oh, my God.
Like, can you imagine? Like, every time you go to the grocery store, every time you leave your driveway, he had to stop, like, hit the hazards, get out, and look.
I've got a great life hack for that guy. Just back into your parking spots, because then you're already getting out of your car to see what if you backed over anything. And then when you leave, you don't have to back up at all. You just pull right out.
Does anybody have Sally Jesse Raphael's number?
I do. Yeah, we go to the same glasses club.
You have a glasses club.
A giant glasses?
Yeah, we got a glasses.
That's nice.
Giant 80s glasses. Giant 80s. If you see my headshot, by the way, from that era, Gil Martin was like, who, you Sally Jesse Raphael?
Yeah.
They're bananas. We all did, though. Everybody had those glasses. She was not alone.
Banana I mean, most of the people who had those glasses were women, I think. So
how dare you?
Well, we used to have a lot of fun with our 8x10s, right? Now there's just pictures, but back in the day, there would be the big one where it'd be like next to a non-smoking sign, somebody would be lighting a cigarette, and you're like, this guy's dangerous right here. What?
Bad boy.
No diving, and you're diving into a pool.
Yeah, he's a good middle act.
Sticking it to the man.
Former friend of the show, now current whack job, Jimmy Dore, had a meeting with an agent here in town who offhandedly said, like, you know, you're a comedian. It might be fun if you, like, you know, took a headshot of you, like, talking into your shoe. And then that was Jimmy's headshot for a few years. He did it.
It's not even his bit.
Not right?
It's not even. Yeah.
It's Don Maxwell Adams. Smart.
Yeah. It's what yeah. Are you doing?
Mel Brooks wrote that, right?
Asshole smart.
He did write it, yes. Mm. He wrote it for the great Don Adams. So Jimmy Dore's headshot missed it, but yeah.
Much.
Hey, there's music playing.
Sitting cross-legged on the floor.
Boy, let me call again.
As Jimmy goes around the horn.
Garen sucks. Now, here's the thing. I don't have Garen on speed dial. That's not a thing that happens on my telephone.
Interesting.
You could call through the app we text on if you want to do it.
I'm not going to do that. Are you okay if I don't do that?
I've never used it that way. Have you ever tried it?
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm calling. This is Garen Cockrell now. Our usual intern, Garen, is off on assignment today while Zoe is kind of do a fill-in over there.
Hello.
Hi, Garen. This is Jimmy Pardo from Never Not Fun. Do you have your permission to put you on the air?
Sure. Yes.
Thank you, Garen. We're here with Augie Smith. What do you want?
Turn it up a little
louder. Hang on, I got to turn you up, Garen. We forgot that you quietly mumble. I blame you because I didn't have the volume up. Garen, what are you doing today that you can't be here? You're off on assignment. What are you doing?
I'm preparing my 3-word review of Something Like It Hot, the musical.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay, you saw that last night.
I did.
Do you want to give us your 3? Augie Smith is here, and Zoe is here, and Elliot, and of course Matt. It's Matt's birthday. Anything you want to say to him?
Happy birthday, Matt.
Thanks, Garen.
There's your 3 words. That's his review.
Oh.
Something Like It Hot.
I guess I'll check that show out.
Have you already prepared your 3 words? Or you don't want to wait until Monday?
No, I can. It's an absolute delight.
Oh, all right. There we go.
An absolute delight.
Well, he did say
it's
an absolute delight.
There's no it's.
There's no it's.
Okay.
Not a complete
sentence.
We're
dropping the it's.
So an absolute delight.
He's really just writing the pull quote that'll be on the poster. Yeah.
Well, that's great, Garen. I look forward to seeing it and talking about it at length with you because Matt's already seen it.
Yeah.
My wife has already seen it. So Oliver and I will have to do it before he goes away to collage. So we'll have to sneak that in. He's going to collage school. He's learned how to put together photographs in a fun manner. It's got a great program there. By the way, Zoe's doing a bang-up job filling in for you today.
Awesome.
She's had a tough. She had the tough task of keeping track of what's going on with the baseball trade deadline, which I think you would have handled that fine. But you and she probably have a similar level of interest in that topic.
She doesn't have to be interested in it. She has to do what their boss says to do. There's a lot of times people don't have an interest in something.
Yeah, that's true. That's interesting.
That seat is not I have an interest in this.
No,
that seat is look up what the fuck Jimmy Pardo says to look
but
up.
But there's a level of disinterest that makes it more difficult to find the information. That's what
she's doing a fine job. She has found it, and she's doing great.
Yeah,
Garen. If I may, Garen, in a way that you would not have been able to do.
I don't doubt it.
She's doing a great job over there, and we're really glad to have her. If I'm being honest, the show is really going smoothly.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And if I may, what's that, Garen?
The youth are the future.
Oh yeah. Oh, if she didn't have to go to school every day, you'd be gone.
I imagine that's probably true.
That I'm going to say this about Zoe being here: an absolute delight.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, like the musical.
Like the musical.
Much like Something Like It.
Now let's do this. Hang on. There's going to be music playing. It's the letter game. Started with a letter. Does that work?
Hope you guess it's better.
Start with the letter and end with the name. It's the Never Not Funny. Garen sucks. Hey, Garen, you're going first. It's horror sci-fi. I think it's $15 on the line, right? Isn't that what?
I think
so.
Yeah, that's right.
Right, because nobody got last week's V, and then before that we
it was
partomized it.
Yeah, it was G.
Oh, wait a minute. Then the week before that you didn't get mine either.
Is that true?
Well, that would make it. Wait.
Right, didn't you have ABC? What's before you?
This is one thing that I didn't think about. This would be Garen would be able to look back.
T. T was what? Terminator? Who had that? Garen, remember anything?
I don't. No. It's not on the computer. Oh, no, because she's probably logged in under her other account, so it probably won't show.
Yeah, she's not going to look that up.
Sorry, guys.
She's busy on MLB, dude. She doesn't have time for this horseshit.
Oh, you're right.
We'll figure it out.
Bottom line is somebody has a chance to win $15 today, minimum.
Yeah.
And if it's more than that, if it's anybody but Augie, we'll pay it off on Monday. Right. And if it's Augie, we'll Venmo him $5 extra.
And if it's Zoe, I'll buy her a milkshake.
Yay!
Oh, look at that. You're already a winner. You should get that milkshake anyway, quite frankly, for filling in for Garen Cockrell, who's off on
assignment. She doesn't need to be encouraged. She bought a $20 smoothie from Erewhon.
Yeah, she did. Yeah. That's right.
She's all set.
Irma heard about that, and now she wants one.
Irma wants a $20 smoothie?
Yeah. Look what you've done.
$20 smoothie?
That's what the kids make. What? They have enough walking around money, they can buy a $20 smoothie.
They're so good.
They better be.
Worth every dollar.
They have grass-fed vanilla collagen in them. Which I don't even know what that means.
I don't either, but I'm
collagen.
In
it. Is that the stuff they put in their lips?
No, yeah. Well, collagen is also for your skin, right? For elasticity.
I mean, in theory, collagen comes from an animal, so I don't know where vanilla gets in there.
Well, vanilla bean.
Sure. So you grass feed those beans, and then you get the collagen.
I don't know. Vanilla bean.
In Pulp Fiction, $5 was a huge amount to pay for a milkshake.
Right.
I said the very same thing to my daughter. Yeah. Like in 30 years, we've gone from what a $5 milkshake to that's a bargain now. Like if you got a $5 milkshake,
that heroin goes for exactly the same.
Well, is that right? It's a more stable market. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, Garen, what's your guess? And then I'm only going to hang up with you because I want to put the phone down.
No problem. I'm going to go with water. World.
Water World.
Just celebrated, right? There's an anniversary this year, isn't it, of Water World?
Yeah.
Isn't there something going on with Water World? Because it's in the zeitgeist. They're talking about it.
Yeah, it's 95 might have been when it came out.
I don't recall.
30? 20? 30.
That'd be 30 years. Yeah. I saw a screening of it at Universal, and I think it was Pat and I were roommates, so it was either 95 or 96. Yeah. So it makes sense for it to be 95.
Yeah.
Universal Studios still does a Water World show.
And it's so awesome.
It's so great. Awesome.
Isn't it great? World.
Right?
It's the best. Yeah. It's perfect.
It doesn't matter that you didn't see the movie or anything. No. That show is so much fun.
Amazing.
Her and her friends went, they watched the movie because of the stunt show. That's how much they loved it.
What do you think of the movie, Zoe?
The movie was so much worse than the show. The show is the best thing about that.
Yeah.
It's the perfect form for that story to be told.
It's really great.
Yeah, that's you need 20 minutes and some fireworks to tell that story.
Do you think that there is every year there's a meeting? How do we rebrand this? Yeah. Because Waterworld is 30 years old. Nobody gives a shit about it. How do we rebrand this to make it more current?
They must have made another movie in that time that would have fit, sort of, right? But
they're just fighting on water. It could be any sort of pirate.
So you get the guy who keeps doing all the remakes of like Blade Runner and whatever. Who's the actor who's like, wasn't he also Judge Dredd
Denis
or whatever?
Villeneuve.
Well, not the director.
Rob Schneider?
No, the lead actor.
It is Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider was just on stage, by the way. They pulled him off stage because
That's all that happens now. Wow. All that happens now is people book him and then they pull him off
stage. They pull him off because he's not funny?
Not funny. But not like he used to be. Before he did Saturday Night Live, he was just a road comic.
Yeah.
And so we used to do the same rooms. Like, I did him a few years after him, but yeah. And he was just a goofy, he did an Elvis impression and stuff.
He did that Young Comedian special where he did 7 minutes. And I'll say that, it was a good 7 minutes.
Sure, yeah.
But that's
he was a solid road act.
That's when it ended.
Yeah.
For me, anyway.
I liked the making copies guy. That's about it for me.
That was a good character.
That was a good bit. That was a good SNL sketch that they probably ran into.
They
the
should have made a whole movie of it.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't.
How did they not? All right. Well, Garen, best of luck to you on Waterworld. We'll call you back if you win. I think you can put your phone away.
You got stuff to do? Go ahead and do it.
If you don't, you know what? If you don't panic that you have to be near your phone. I think you're going to be okay.
I won't.
All right, dude. You sound better than ever, to be honest with you. Doesn't he sound good today?
This has been a real boon for him to have this day off.
You sound like it's some energy. Maybe it's that hot musical you saw.
There you go.
Oh, it's all fake.
Oh,
acting.
It's all for the show.
Well, thanks for putting it on. We appreciate that.
My pleasure. Cut this out.
All right, Garen Cockrell, not about to win $15. Talk to you, Garen.
Bye.
See you Monday.
So, Some Like It Hot as a musical.
Yeah.
Isn't it a little dated? Like the idea?
They update it in an interesting way, actually. Okay. Yeah, because the obvious question is like, in this time, how do you deal with the
cross-dressing?
The central joke is men.
Isn't
are
it crazy that a man is dressed like a woman? Yeah.
So
how will he ever handle?
I don't know if you. It's a spoiler, I guess. Do you care about a?
Oh, I do.
Spoiler?
Please, okay.
Yeah, don't say
please
anything.
Please do not.
Yeah. Don't say anything.
Yeah.
Did you see it, Zoe?
Yes, I did.
And rumor is it's an absolute delight. Would you agree with that?
I would agree that it's an absolute delight.
Okay. You loved it.
We weren't trying to go see it. Like I think we were in New York and had one extra like night to see something, and we're trying to see Anne Juliet.
Yeah.
And we just like randomly walked in like 15 minutes before it started.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was an absolute delight. We're all grinning.
Zoe, out of curiosity, you're a big fan of the musical theater. Maybe we may have talked about this before, but what's number one in the clubhouse as far as the musicals go?
We talked about this last time. Hadestown
is still number one.
Oh, I saw Hadestown. I saw it in New York. It was fantastic.
It's amazing. Yeah. Absolutely. Amazing.
What's number two then?
Probably Hamilton.
Hamilton, that, rightfully
Hamilton's
so.
Hamilton's very good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're a big musical guy, Og?
I was never until I married my wife, and my wife's a huge musical person, and so we go to musicals all the time now, and I actually have become a true fan of them.
You know why? They're great.
They're great.
They're fun.
They're fantastic. Yeah. We even went to see, we were in Washington, D.C., and we went to see the Back to the Future musical.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where they have a little twist. You don't see it coming at the end, and it was fine.
You saw it, right?
I did see it.
It was fine, right?
I saw it here.
It wasn't great. It was
fine.
Yeah,
no, it's not good.
As far as the, it was like mid-tier, it was fine.
It's like, everyone has made this comment, but it should be at Universal Studios. Like, it's the kind of show that if you saw it at a theme park and it was 90 minutes, you'd be like, great.
Yeah.
Like, because they used, you know, they do that at Disney, like they have like shortened versions of Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast or whatever. Mm-hmm. You go into that theater, you're out, you know, 80 minutes later, you're happy. You heard all the songs you wanted to hear and you're done.
Shorter.
But the thing about, yeah, I decided to trim it back a little bit. Let's say 75. Let's call it 75.
That sounds reasonable.
My final offer.
No, if you're at Universal and you see a 75-minute Back to the Future, you're going to walk out of there, then you're going to, let's grab lunch, and then you talk about how great that thing was.
The main problem with the Back to the Future, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating myself, but they felt the need to write original music, and the original music isn't good. They should have just had 50s music.
Be like a
jukebox musical with 50s songs. And I would have been happy.
Nothing but Huey Lewis.
Or that.
I would say.
That too. That's also an old way to go
with
it.
Huey Lewis's biggest hits.
Yeah.
True story, Augie. When I worked at the record store back in the 80s, a man came into the record store and said, my daughter wants me to get a cassette for her by Huey Newton and the Lewis. And I said, sir, I think you're thinking of Huey Lewis and the News. And he's like, no, she said Huey Newton and the Lewis. And I said, well, sir, Huey Newton is a Black Panther and the Lewis is nothing. This is what she wants. He goes, if it's wrong, I'm bringing it back. I go, you're not coming back. This is what it is.
I hope it's wrong.
I hope it's wrong.
I hope Huey Newton had a band.
If you find it, bring it to me.
With three guys named Lou.
Prove me wrong.
Huey Newton and three guys named Lou.
Oh, that way. I was picturing L-O-S-E, but I like the Lou's, like three guys named Lou.
I do too.
I mean, I think we should start that band.
We got Lou on bass.
And we got Lou on drums.
There's Lou back there on the drums. Say hello to Lou on keyboards. I'm Huey Newton.
I'm hosting a charity event in Montana in a couple months, and one of the people is going to be Huey Lewis. It's a fly fishing weekend, and I host like the charity auction night.
Yes.
And Huey Lewis is going to be one of the fly fishermen.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's a big thing he does, right?
He loves fly fishing, apparently, so I've been writing Huey Lewis jokes.
Good for you. Do you want to test one out on us right here? You don't.
No.
You don't want to get that silence?
No. I did a couple bits already. Did not go well.
We
Jim.
Don't like them.
No. Did not go well.
This is not the place for bits, buddy. This ain't no morning radio show in Omaha. Well, I like those guys. That's a bad example.
Love
God damn it.
No. I love them.
I hate that my go-to is Omaha because those guys are good.
They're the best.
Who's the guy who did the thing where he leads you in awkwardly?
Oh, Byron Allen.
There you go.
Hey, that show's coming back, they say.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to take over for Colbert. What I heard.
Wait, what?
Yeah, because it costs nothing to make.
Sure.
Yeah.
God.
But nobody needs that.
We don't need comics unleashed. We need to be leashed.
Tighten them up.
Yes, I've been saying that for years. Get more leashes.
In a yard, something around our neck.
In a yard, at a pen, electric fence. Hey, Zoe, what's happening over there? You're doing a great job today.
Hey, thanks.
Is there any breaking news before we move on to talk to you about more important things?
I feel like probably not. I also have the White Sox Reddit page, and they're just like making fun of random guys. Like,
who are they making fun of? Give me an example of who they're making fun of.
Now I have to look. Like, are they like close the tab?
Players?
Yeah. Well, it is the computer.
Yeah, never close the tab.
Just never close the tab.
Or classic Gage Zahil.
Who's that?
Gage Zahil.
He posted an Instagram story and classic him.
Oh.
Oh, that's not a player?
No.
Do you remember when the White Sox wore shorts?
Of course. Yeah. I was at a game.
Oh, my God. That was fantastic.
It was a doubleheader. They wore shorts the first game and not the second game.
Did they pull their socks all the way up so their knees wouldn't get
screwed? Well, no. The socks came up to here anyway at the time. But no, because then they would slide and it would just
rip the shit out of their legs.
That was a horrible idea.
It's crazy. Dirt all the way up there. Yeah. Awful.
But they nice and tight around that thigh.
Great.
Nice and firm.
Were they cycling shorts?
Basically.
Oh, my God. Oh, I was picturing baggier.
No. These were tight.
Poor Harold Baines. He didn't deserve that.
No. best swing, one of the best swings in the history of baseball. The great Harold Baines. Right fielder. We wish him luck, as we do all retired ball players. Zoe, what are you going to do when you leave here? Are you going to go out with some friends tonight?
It's my dad's birthday.
Yeah, right. You're going to go out with some friends?
I wish.
Yeah, I know you do.
Did you get him an ice cream cake?
No.
Well, I just saw...
There was talk of donuts at some point.
Well, that's a good point.
We got donuts.
Yeah, we did. We already got
but
the donuts.
But you saw...
I saw something wait. I probably wasn't supposed to see because of apps being synced. I saw that there was something that was ordered, I assume for me, for at home later.
Are you saying those donuts were for you?
Yeah. Did you eat them all?
Uh-oh. Oh, this is
awesome. Well, they are in the kitchen.
Let me get you an ice cream cake.
I'm all set.
In fairness, we could walk into that kitchen right now to get the donuts, and they could be all gone.
Because true. That's
And that's the premise of our kitchen. Yeah. So...
Yeah, yeah.
We wish everybody
luck.
Well,
there's 12 of them, so there aren't 12.
Yeah, but Tyler's going to eat four.
Yeah.
Oh, try it, Tyler. He keeps it trim.
He's got a metabolism that we'll never know again, I guess.
Minimum four donuts, Tyler.
Okay, well, then there's eight left.
There's eight left. Well, seven. I think all of you may have had one. Zoe, we're trying now to guess a horror sci-fi movie that I'm thinking about. Now, here's the beauty of this. So if you match me, you're going to win minimum $15, maximum 15 plus a milkshake.
Sounds amazing. I don't think I'm going to get it, but...
What W?
Okay, I just looked up sci-fi movies that start with W and picked the first one I knew.
Okay.
Which is War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds, a great, great Tom guess. Cruise film.
Yeah. Featured in the Universal Studio Tour, which is the only reason I knew it.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
They crash a plane in that movie, and they have this giant crash plane.
Right.
And they play a clip, and he goes, "Robbie, get in!" And
it's she's very been on the tour a lot.
I've seen this tour at least 20 times.
Wow,
that's a good impression.
Thanks.
She has a pass. You know, like we live 5 minutes away from there, so the passes are the same price as one.
Me and my family, we have the pass too. We go all the time. We'll probably run into each other.
We'll see you there. Yeah, I think my pass actually expired. She goes.
I'm the only pass.
She goes solo.
Holder.
Yeah,
you're it.
How about that poor guy that's got to play the Dracula? like in this heat, he's got a big heavy black cloak on and total.
Same with Frankenstein, he's got the heavy coat. Yeah, it's not pleasant.
I heard that's the real Frankenstein.
Whoa,
yeah. So I think he's.
So he's all set.
He's used to it. Yeah, it's not a big deal for him.
My daughter got his autograph last time we were there.
Oh no!
Swear to God. Yeah, she wanted to get all the characters.
What does he sign?
But it says Frank on it.
Okay,
nice. He signs it Frank.
That's wonderful. Yeah.
Good for you get the donkey? Does he sign, or does he just?
He's locked up, kind of.
Yeah. He doesn't have arms.
Yeah, okay.
But all the other ones, like she got Beetlejuice, and she got the Wicked Women.
Yeah,
and yeah.
I love the innocence of it. That there's Frankenstein. I want his autograph. God, I love it.
And let me tell you something else. Whoever they have playing Glinda is perfect.
Really?
For a while, I thought it was Ariana Grande because she's so good.
Yeah.
And I thought, I could see Ariana Grande taking that gig.
She's got a free weekend.
Taking pictures. Yeah.
Taking pictures with kids.
Wow. Good for your
how kids. Since you're familiar with the park, what's your take on the comedy duo of Brooklyn couples hanging out the window yelling at each other?
I think about having that gig and how hard it would be because you can't make fun of anybody.
Right.
You can't say anything just a little bit out of bounds.
Right.
You just have to have this ridiculous accent.
How great would it be if you could say anything?
Can't you make fun of a guy's hat, though? Isn't there that? Like, look at a guy with the hat. And then the other person kind of, it's almost like a trilogy. Doesn't the other one kind of agree? You can't say that to him.
Hey,
you haven't seen the hat.
Hey, no, they have there's Snowball. They have Snowball, and he will insult people. Oh. One time he said, "What's with your shirt?" Like that. He was yelling at me. But yeah, the Brooklyn couple, I just want to get out of there as fast as possible. Yes. Because it makes me uncomfortable.
You have to get, pass them to get to everything else.
Right,
and
right.
It's
just like, you don't want to make eye contact.
Exactly.
But my daughter, she always wears her Wicked dress. She wears her Glinda dress every time we go now. She says, "Everybody's looking at me." Yeah, you've worn it six times in a row, and you know that. And so she knows that they're going to yell down, "Your Highness," like that. And so I like that.
That's fun.
That's sweet.
You wouldn't take that gig? If they offered it to you tomorrow, for decent, I'm not suggesting for minimum wage, but for a decent way, because you don't want to travel anymore. Like, you go
would
there
I
for
take
6 hours?
So, if it's got health benefits,
right?
And say you're making, I don't know, $80 to $100 a year, Yeah,
I like that. I like you for this part, by the way. I think you, I think you have a Brooklyn energy. Yeah, yeah, like, I know you're not from there, but you could definitely sell it. I could see it. I want this to happen now.
I agree. I mean, they're just improvisers. You can do it.
Matt, sure. Well, it's the people that do the Transformers are the ones that I really admire.
Yeah.
Have you seen this, Jim?
No.
Speaking of sassy, I feel like Megatron's a bit sassy.
You go downstairs.
That guy gets Molly?
And they have these 15-foot robots that come out, and they fully move around, and they have a guy doing the voice, so he's actually connecting with the people that he's talking to.
Okay.
And, like, the Megatron guy, they changed him, like, a few months ago.
Oh, really?
And he's a lunatic. He's an absolute... Autobots are scum! What is this? You bow down... It's hilarious. And so there's a bunch of people have posted about him. But yeah, they changed whoever the guy
interesting.
Was.
Interesting.
And I think it's got to be a comedian. It's got to be a comedian. It's got to be an improviser that are doing these things. So I think it's got to be a good gig for a lot of people.
Now, do you think it's one guy in the suit and a different guy in
there's
a room
there's
with a
guy in a he sits in the corner. I've seen him. I finally found him.
Oh,
he
you
sits
saw
in
him.
The corner
like that old carnival trick.
And he sits and he watches him from the corner and he's and you can see him doing the
great
voice.
Wonderful Oz.
Yeah, but the thing is it isn't like
oh come on man, that's why we don't use mason jars here.
Oh, boy.
You hillbilly, what are you fucking
but there's nothing like protecting him. So you could just go over and sit
you
down.
You know you
and mess
spilled,
with
right? Stop talking about this fucking Transformer guy.
The show must go on, Jim. Okay? We can't stop it.
Sop up that water.
Zoe's going to watch her father get electrocuted right in front of her.
This is unbelievable. But at least we're going to get this story about the Beetlejuice, or Bumblebee, whatever the fuck his name is.
Autobots
It
assemble.
Is Bumblebee.
I know.
This is one of the guys.
Of course it is.
He's one of the guys.
Is that all cleaned up over
there? All right, it's fine. Everything's good. Fine.
All right.
Hey, you don't need
just
to.
Just water. It's no big deal.
Oh, it is a big deal. It's glassware.
Yeah, I don't have a drinking problem.
Who brings glassware to a podcast?
Well, he got it from the kitchen. He
didn't
that's from the kitchen?
Yes, it's from the kitchen.
Not ours.
You think I came in here with a mason jar?
Kind of did.
I kind of did because...
came in sipping a mason jar full
of something
clear. I
should tell you, I don't know who that belongs to.
It's burning through the table, whatever was in there.
Oh, you're an acid?
It's the only thing that gets me drunk anymore.
I get it.
It's great.
Yeah, hard 90s. Let's say hello to Elliot Hopper. He's been Video Village over there. Elliot, what's going on?
So it's been... I hate to call it a rough week, but for me it is.
Oh, no.
I'm a night owl. So usually 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I go to bed. But because of some work that's being done in the building, and Augie, I manage the building that I live in. I have for like 15 years.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Matt.
Thanks.
I have to get up. I have to be up and ready to do stuff by 8 a.m. So for me, that's kind of a hassle.
That's really for you.
So that's, I haven't been, like, for whatever reason, I try to go to sleep earlier. I can't do it. And then I get up at like 7, so I have enough time to shower and whatever I got to do, right? So that's been a little rough. But
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure.
When you have to wake up at 7, you're not tired enough to just pass out on the couch at 10?
You think?
Because that's my life.
No, I'm not either. I'm up till 1, and then like when I had to get up today at 6:30 to make that.
So you don't like have a siesta like so sometime in the afternoon?
I had a little napper.
Take a nap.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
that probably doesn't help, but I tried not to do that.
You're right. It doesn't help.
And then I still was up till 12:30, 1.
Mm-hmm.
So so whatever. Wah. But one of the things that the reason why we're doing it is we're replacing all of the breaker boxes in all the units. It's for an insurance thing. I guess because we had the fires, now all the insurance companies are putting in these
new
requirements.
Is that show with Bryan Cranston? Breaker box?
Breaker box, yeah.
Yeah. Is that fun? What I just did?
It's a teacher that becomes a
box. Slowing down this already slow story. Go on.
I guess I'll just finish up and say we had to replace...
Come on, dude.
Because of the new boxes, they're bigger. And when the building was built, it was built in such a way that a few of the units have the refrigerator like right next to there. So now we have to replace two refrigerators because they're too deep. And they get in the way. So there's a whole drama about that. Like trying
you got
to
get counter depth?
Counter depth, which thankfully I discovered those recently, but these units had not had the new ones. So I realize this isn't super interesting, but it was a whole drama that I had to go through yesterday. It was kind of stressful.
Mm-hmm.
What are we going to do? Because the inspectors are coming today, and we're not going to be able to get them in time. But then we can move one from a vacancy and all that kind of stuff. So
I tell you what, well, you don't want gadgets showing up.
No, you don't want Inspector Gadget.
He's going to ruin it. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, is that a regular inspector
would be
there for safety. Inspector Gadget, the whole building's going to burn down because this guy's got something coming out of his head. Yeah. He's got stuff coming out of his feet. He runs into a wall.
Yeah.
We don't need Inspector Gadget. That's a problem.
He makes a good point, though. You don't want Clouseau there either.
He'll start a fire.
Two of our favorite inspectors.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a piece of advice. Do not tell your tenants that the counter depth are less storage.
Well, here's the thing. The ones that the last one I got, it's wider.
It's wider.
And taller.
Oh, okay.
So
tell them whatever you want then.
It's actually, if it is about the same space, it's actually better because it's not as deep.
I don't disagree with you.
So you can find stuff easier.
Yeah. You ever get lost in there? Sounds like you do.
Just looking, yeah, looking down there.
It's so deep. It's like looking through the forest.
It's like the ocean.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like this story. it just keeps going.
You're not lost in this. You followed it very clearly.
Yeah.
You just went out.
Got lost in my thoughts.
Just drop your breadcrumbs. You'll get through this fucking...
I mean, that's the definition of lost is you can't get out.
Here.
Yeah.
What's your guess?
So...
What's your guess?
So, I feel like...
Yeah?
Somebody has to pick this because it's Jimmy Pardo, even though I think it's not going to be it.
Yeah.
Which is War for the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm. That was my thought, too.
But it's not going to be it because it's a target all over again.
I kind of know what you mean. Yeah, it's like...
I will tell you this. I don't know. I do not remember what five I put down.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, Matt...
Are you a Planet of the Apes guy?
Big Planet of the Apes guy.
Yep.
Are you a vintage or new guy?
Vintage.
Vintage, yeah.
But it would come
top to mind.
Yeah.
Just the absolute.
Even Battle, it's not a good movie, but I love it.
No Ape, Go Human. No Ape, Go Human.
That's right.
Yeah. Hmm.
You're an ape guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding me?
I mean, I'm not Dana Gould ape.
You're too ape.
No, but he's Dana Gould
ape. I'm not dressing up
ape.
Walking around the neighborhood. You know what I mean? I'm not showing off the scrolls to my neighbors. You know, but I love it. I've got some action figures on a shelf. Matt, what's your guess?
You know, the whole time it was Earth, right?
What? We said no spoilers.
No spoilers.
Shit.
That may be the best reveal of a movie. I mean, because you didn't see it coming.
No, you didn't.
Sadly, I'm of an age that I wasn't able to see the movie before that had been spoiled.
Oh, that's
for
a
me.
Bummer,
so,
man.
Like, once you know that, you can't experience it the way it was meant to be experienced.
When you see that, when you don't know it, and you see that final scene, that is holy.
And what a perfect thing to show you that it's Earth.
It's great. It's iconic.
It's the absolute perfect
thing. Yeah.
Boy, they can't really do that with the new series. Even though the new series is so good, like, there's no surprise you can have there. Because of the way it plays out.
Yeah, we've seen the mm-hmm.
We see how it starts.
It
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's okay. Different James movies.
Franco
different
is movies. Responsible for it all.
Yeah. That's
stupid
a good, that's,
Lithgow. Ladies, oh, I just can't have Alzheimer's, right? Okay, let's destroy the
look
world
at
then.
You, back on the Alzheimer's. We can't talk about it. Go on, Matt.
It's his turn.
Oh, in this game, it's his turn.
Yes, that's great.
You're correct. My apologies.
Okay. I've thought about this, Jimmy.
Yeah, you came in. You were very cocky that you you knew the answer.
One of my guesses was going to be War of the Worlds.
Okay.
But I had a backup guess because I think you're a Nicholson fan. So I think it's Wolf.
Whoa.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Look at that.
Forgot about that movie.
That came up recently, didn't it?
We talked about Wolfen.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's different.
That's
Remember
what
Wolfen?
I would have gone with. If I had remembered
that was my
that
first thought, but I don't think it's good.
First thought, best thought.
I don't think Jimmy's going to say Wolfen, even though we did talk about it recently for some reason, probably because of this game. I got to go because we say jokingly sometimes we call it the Vivitch.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say the Witch.
Sure.
Yeah. I also liked World War Z and WALL-E, but I think of those three.
WALL-E.
Yeah. Sci-fi.
I would have never thought of that as a sci-fi movie.
But it really is.
Well, I wouldn't have either, but I saw it on a list, and it is, yeah.
Oh, it's definitely.
Great movie.
All right, give us the fans quickly, if you would, and then I'll give mine, then we'll get out of here.
Speaking of Huey Lewis.
Yeah, there you go.
Go.
All right. Number 10, Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek.
Never heard of it, but.
That's not a movie. That's a TV
production
show.
Company. Oh, yeah.
It had Lou Diamond in it.
Phillips?
Yeah. Who else?
Or is that Wolf Lake? There was also a show called Wolf Lake, I think.
Oh, you're right.
I think it's Wolf
Lake. I take it all back.
But I think Wolf Creek is a production company or something.
I think it's Dick Wolf Company, isn't it?
Maybe.
Is it?
It might be Dick Creek's company.
I think that's just Dick Wolf Productions.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I can see the logo that you're talking about.
Well, Wolf Creek is definitely a production company. There's no doubt about that in my mind anyway.
Wolf Creek is a 2005 Australian horror film.
Okay.
And also a golf thing.
What?
Those are the two things that came up.
Can you be more specific?
AI is not being helpful at all.
Wolf Creek Golf in Las Vegas.
It's like a golf course.
Yeah,
it's a
golf course.
Can you look up Wolf Creek Production Company?
Good out there. You ever play Wolf Creek? Oh, it's a beautiful course. It's a nice track.
Where outdoor entertainment lives, Wolf Creek Productions.
Oh. That
doesn't look very legit, to be honest. I don't think this is what you're thinking.
Okay, all right.
What am I envisioning then? Because I could see the logo.
I can see it, too.
All right, give it to us. Give us number eight.
I don't know where I'm at, but that's his number nine. Number nine, Wolfen.
Hey,
all right,
was also on my list.
Yeah.
What lies beneath?
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Very scary.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know.
That was Michelle Pfeiffer, I think.
Oh
yeah, right? And Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford. Yeah.
This sounds like something that I've heard of, but I can't think of what it is. When Evil Lurks. When Evil Lurks.
All right.
Then you got WALL-E, Waterworld, War of the Worlds. Now, by the definition that we've used in this show, this number three would still count, but I don't think it does. But What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not a movie.
It is.
It was a movie.
There was a movie.
Before it was a
movie.
So why wouldn't it count?
Because it's a comedy, and I wouldn't think I would ever be scared by it.
But so is, I don't want to say another one, but go ahead.
Okay. Then number two, Wicker Man.
Wicker Man.
Solid one. And then number one,
Iron Maiden song.
Number one, which was my number three, maybe. Nope. Westworld.
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 The great Yul Brynner.
Yeah.
The show's got everything.
Louder.
But Yul Brynner.
But Yul Brynner. And Richard Benjamin.
Married to who, sir? I had a crush on her. Boy, did I have a crush on his wife. Paul Apprentice.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. I'm pulling it up. By that, I mean my list of movies. Where is it? There it is.
So we're trying to guess what your number one is?
Correct. Yeah. He's going to say more than one, but the number one's the only one we care about.
Okay.
All right, number one.
Number one.
What? You're going starting with one?
Number five.
There we
number
go.
Number five.
The Vivitch.
Okay. Damn it. Matt's out.
What?
Number four, Wicker Man.
Okay.
Number three, one of the greatest horror films of all time, When a Stranger Calls.
Oh, nice.
They call it horror. It's more terror suspense, but it falls under the...
Like Psycho.
Number two, the classic, The Wolfman.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And number one, we do have a winner.
Yeah?
We know it's not Mel Belknap.
Yeah.
Refresh, remember, you said...
Wolf.
Wolf, you said...
War of the Planet of the Apes. War for the Planet of the Apes.
And Zoe, you said Waterworld?
War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds, and Garen said Waterworld.
Garen said it. We do have a winner. Number one is winning $15 in a milkshake.
Oh.
War of the Worlds.
Hey. Yay, I win.
Look at that. Not only do you get to intern today, you're going home with a couple of bucks.
Hooray.
Now, here's what your dad is going to do. Your dad's going to ball these up and whip them at you. Get the cash.
The coffee.
You put in $5 a week, is that the idea?
Well, we're very lucky that a fan named Dane Coffee sponsors this segment. That's the Dane Coffee Coffee Can. He sponsors this segment. Garen Socks. All right, here we go. So what we do is we're going to go 5, 10, 15 as he throws these at
you. Do we go 5, 10, 15 milkshake?
Zoe, sure. Feel free to use that softball glove if you want.
I feel like it's not going to do much.
Yeah.
All right, here
give
we go.
Give it a try. See how that fits.
Hey, all right, you know what? Garen can take
hand.
The...
Wrong hand.
He can take the packaging off of it.
Yeah, we talked about that.
New.
And it didn't happen.
It's nice.
It's brand new. A fan sent that in. Mac from
Scotland.
You got to
break it in. So you put the ball in and then you wrap it with the...
Yeah. If I may, sir, that glove says no break in necessary.
The tag on it says no break in necessary. We disagree.
Yeah.
If you feel it, it feels very much like it needs.
I think Franklin himself...
Ready?
Here we go.
Okay.
And five.
Hey!
All right. Put that down.
There you go.
And ten.
Oh, that was a terrible
That's
throw.
A bad throw.
Sorry about that. It curved. It broke.
All right.
Broke left.
And 15. Oh, hey. And a milkshake. Throw the milkshake. Congratulations, Zoe.
Congratulations.
So we're going to have to figure out afterwards whether it's 15 or 20.
But we have to. We'll figure out by Monday.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
You'll see Zoe again.
I will not get her a milkshake if I don't need to. Absolutely.
You
not
will not know it today.
Okay.
You don't have to.
No, I can't. Once we're
get
done.
Get a milkshake next week. Who gives a shit when you get her a milkshake?
Okay.
I care. I want it now.
Tell your dad to get you a milkshake.
You're going to have there are treats all day because of my birthday. So don't worry about
She's
a milkshake.
She's not going to be doing that. She's out with her friends, she said tonight.
Mm-hmm. No, she has rehearsal tonight.
I do have rehearsal tonight.
Rehearsal for what?
For choir.
Good for you.
Thanks. Yeah, the school hasn't even started yet. They're already Can you crinkle that money a little bit more on Mike?
You're an old person at a theater?
Good heavens.
I got my jujubes.
That's an old person at a theater.
Sure.
But they're not wrapped. You picked the one.
That's true. That's a
my hard saltwater taffy. They wrap those.
Anybody in this room like jujubes?
No.
I don't.
If I saw one on the street, I wouldn't even know it. Wouldn't even know.
You're offended by the name.
If I had to describe it to like one of those court people that drive,
you couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
That's like it's like a pastel Mike and Ike. Right?
It looks like a Mike and Ike, basically.
But it's a pastel. Does it have a hard shell?
Wait, the jujube?
Yeah.
Isn't the jujube like a pill shape?
I could be wrong. That's what I picture. I'm picturing.
What's the one
that
looks like a circle that looks like a notary? What is that candy?
What?
Like a notary. I mean, there's several.
With the mint inside?
There's like lightsavers.
No, I think it's got
life savers.
You talking about Spree?
No, it's like a licorice or something. It comes in a box in the same way that our boys Mike and Ike do.
That's not. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Oh.
What are those things called? I got to be honest with you. This is very sad. But no, Jujubee is that's a pastel Mike and Ike.
I think so.
But we wish all these candies luck.
Yep.
Augie?
Yes.
I'm going to say it. Strong first showing.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
Strong first showing.
I was nervous. I was nervous
really?
Coming in. Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's not easy to put a guy like me on because I'm not a big deal at all. I'm just a working class road comic that's going to be doing West Covina on Sunday.
You're at the Chatterbox?
At the Chatterbox.
Funny is what we like here.
And that's the
it's
other
right in our name,
worried.
Actually.
I was so worried because of that.
You didn't think you could deliver.
I know.
You did great. Okay. Very strong.
We're wrong about the jujube. The jujube is not what you thought it was either, though. It looks kind of like I don't know. It looks like a tiny solo cup. It's like it's sort of like
like a thimble.
Okay. Yeah, like a little thimble.
Yeah,
like multicolored thimble.
Oh
yeah.
Man,
those are kind of hard and they're a little
they
harder.
They stick in your teeth and
like dots. No, not dots. There was another thing like that.
Dots, I think, is very similar.
Gets stuck in your teeth.
Little tiny,
Yeah.
Oh, licorice. The jujube. No, thank you.
Those are candies of another time. Like we've moved on. We don't need them anymore.
There's Junior Mints out there, which are delicious. There's M&Ms, which are perfect.
Jesus Christ.
Starburst. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Don't you wish they put them in
the soft shell crab of candy?
Love it.
But it's good.
It's delicious.
It is good, yeah.
But I would like a sleeve without individually wrapped.
You know what, though? They now make a Starburst that's like they're smaller and they come like that. And it's not as good.
No,
something about the work makes it
right.
It's part of the thing.
Exactly. There's got to be a payoff.
So for the listener and also for me to close this door, what I was thinking of, and probably you as well, Jimmy, was Good and Plenty.
Yes.
That's the sort of.
I will tell you this. In the pastel realm, the other thing is I don't know what I was thinking of.
Fair enough. But
It's
Mike and Ike's cousin is the Good and Plenty.
You got a hard shell and some licorice in the middle?
Yeah.
That's also too sticky.
I like it. I find it to be delicious. All right, Augie Smith has been our guest. Zoe, great job today filling in on for Garen Cockrell. We appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Best of luck at rehearsal tonight. School starts when? Next week or week after?
2 weeks from now. And in the middle of the week because of the problems.
COVID?
Yeah.
Sure.
Is it COVID?
I'm amazed how early school starts here. It's like my kids go back like August 14th.
That's,
or something.
Yeah, something like that, right?
Something like that, yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I used to go September.
Are you a public school family?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
LA Unified.
Yeah, we're in Burbank, but yeah. It's good. Sorry.
We're all together.
Didn't mean to flex on you there. it's Burbank USD.
You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't get it.
Like, excuse me. We've had at least two sex scandals in the last 2 years. So
you had what? Two what?
Sex scandals. There's been multiple sex scandals in the Burbank Unified School District.
What? In the higher ups or
in the administration? Yeah.
My teacher also had a sex scandal.
Wait, what?
What?
That might be one of the ones I was thinking of.
My English teacher like went to.
Do we want to say this on the air?
Okay, never mind.
My English
teacher was bad.
Yeah.
And then he went to court and now he's fired.
Yeah.
Well, okay. As he should be.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nice job, Augie. You had to bring up public school.
You never know where the minds are.
Otherwise, great.
Besides that.
Didn't mean to taint the overall
nice
message.
Nice going, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for supporting the program. If he comes to your town, take the opportunity to go see Augie Smith. He's a terrific stand-up comedian.
Two Gs. In case you're looking me up.
Nobody is.
Does anyone do it with one? Is that a...
Yeah.
Yeah, most do.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. That's the way I do it special. Two G's.
Yes. Yeah,
double GER.
It's one too many as far
double
as I'm concerned.
Double
GER. Double pass. So, no, thank
so
you.
So there's an R in there, too?
Yeah, what are you doing?
You a GER.
You a tiger?
Angry.
Zoe, great job today.
Thank you.
All right, we're done. On behalf of Garen Cockrell, he's over there on the phone machine. Says old man Pardo. Says Strom Pardo. Zoe Belknap, Elliot Hochberg, Matt Belknap, our new friend Augie Smith. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, gone, not forgotten.